It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this halfway point, midpoint of the month of September 2020. This is The Horn. It is the 15th day of September 2020. And, no, Roger, in Oregon. That's Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver, not part-time Uber driver. Yes, the amateur Uber driver did make it home because I had to have him at work early today. I got to pick him up at 10 this evening, but we're back on the 4 to 12 tomorrow, and tomorrow creeps each day in its petty pace. Right, yeah, that's me, Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver, and guy who still hasn't had a cigarette. I'm into day two without a cigarette. Oh, no apologies necessary, Roger. I'm just trying to keep the record accurately reflective of all statuses. That's it. That's what's going on here. But I'm Bob Kincaid, guy without a cigarette. Morning was tough. I will tell you that I have not had I had no decaf even. I had to take a powder on the decaf today because I figured that would just make me hoot like a barn owl and yearn for nicotine in its smoke form. So no, instead this morning I had a very brisk glass with lots of fresh ground pepper and lemon juice. A tall, brisk glass of red gold, not from concentrate, tomato juice. And for those of you who are tomato juice fans and can't can your own, that's as close as you're going to get. It's fan-freaking-tastic. This, of course, is an unpaid product placement because, well, we don't do the advertising thing here. No. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program for the 15th day of September, a Tuesday, is no different. So thanks go out to our 15th day of the month subscribers. And what we mean by that in particular, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket, thanks to Darlene in Connecticut. Thanks to Robert. And those are our 15th day of the month subscribers. Now remember, we've got an offer good through the end of the month, courtesy of our pal Tony in Chico, welcoming new subscribers to the program. We add new listeners practically every day. What we don't add is new subscribers. But if you're new to the program and you'd like to be part of helping to keep this all going, because as much as we would love to, as much as I'd love to keep this thing going on fond wishes and good looks. Well, definitely shit out of luck on the good looks end of things. But If you'd like to help keep it going, Tony and Chico, one of our longest standing subscribers, is willing to double the first month's subscription for new subscribers up to the amount of $100. So if we had 10 new subscribers at $10 a piece, they'd all be 10 new subscribers at $20 a piece, courtesy of Tony and Chico. So there's never been a better time to become a subscriber here, especially on these lonely mid-month days. Because from about the 12th to like the 19th or so is a grim slog through not many subscriber land. So that opportunity's out there for anyone who would like to join the merry little band that makes this program possible for anyone and everyone who wishes to listen to it, because we don't charge for anything, we don't sell anything, there's no gatekeeping going on here. It's just a voluntary effort to create independent, progressive, liberal radio in which we have found ourselves with a delightful, nay, wonderful little community. So thanks to all of our subscribers. Thanks both Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. And thanks to all of you who do one or the other or all three. There are some who do all three, which is just amazing. Thank you to Jeremy for getting us started. Thank you very kindly to Jeremy in Vermont. We now have $195 to go to stay even with the week. And that's just, well, I'm amazed and thrilled that we don't have a carryover from last night. It's wonderful. Thank you. And it is, of course, Trump-tanic Tuesday. Yep. Trump-tanic Tuesday. The day we reserve for manifestations of true of right-wing intellect of the sort that looks at an iceberg and says, full steam ahead.
We'll show that iceberg. That's a fake iceberg. Full steam ahead. I know it's a fake iceberg.
In fact, I posted a cartoon. I forget where I found it. But it was one of those single-panel cartoons reminiscent of, you know, Gary Larson's The Far Side. And it showed the bow of the Titanic aiming at the iceberg, full speed ahead. And it felt almost, deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra once said. And before we get into... That's right, Sparky. I am Ferg's Taxi. And by the way, if you'd like to augment your live listening experience with extra conversation, well, there's no place better to do that than the Horn chat room. And so if you go to headon.live and you click on chat room, you'll be carried immediately to the little place on the interweb tubes where we tuck away the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that we call the chat room. And if you pop in, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Dowhead, by Jimmy and Roger in Oregon, Jimmy in the Great Northwest, Roger in Oregon, and by Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third-stage guild navigator, still is not in the space-folding business for the time being. Too much risk of folding space into a roaring blaze or some such. I don't blame him a bit. And, of course, Sparky is capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, from Georgia Stan. Thanks to both of you. New callers are always welcome, as Sparky points out in the chat room. We love to hear new voices or voices we haven't heard from in a while. That goes without saying. Because one of the cool things about conversation radio is that Well, nobody's going to run you off. Nobody's going to say, it's not going to be, 15 seconds of, gosh, Rush, I just don't know how you can be so smart and still have been hooked on so many drugs for such a long time. Well, that's enough about you, my friend. Let's talk about me. Right. There's Hoghead popping into the chat room. Good evening, Hoghead. So, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, jump right in. Just a reminder of the numbers going forward. You can get in via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, or 304-574-8178, or via the Stress Line, named in memory of Bill Mr. Stress Miller. That's 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, if you like to spell stuff on your dial pad, 844-THE-HORN. So I got to tell this story because this goes back to Friday evening. And it was just such a case of synchronicity. It floored me. Because you don't see the goddess of irony manifesting herself this profoundly that often. It is as though she stepped out from behind the curtain backstage and said, "Yeah, it's me, goddess of irony." You'll recall that our buddy Steve in New York, during the conversation, the front porch conversation on Friday, used twice, I believe. Maybe three if you count the actual mention of the phenomenon, used the term lamentations and said, and so I suppose there are radio programs all over this country, but this is the only one in which the word lamentations has been used. And we all agreed, because that happens quite frequently on this program, that words that you would not expect to be discussed on radio wind up somehow in the conversation. But Friday was one of those evenings, as all too many of them have been of late, where we were, Ferg and I were on the 4 to 12. And so as I hide myself hence down the road to be there at midnight to pick him up, well, over-the-air radio is a vast wasteland for the most part. And I tuned, but in an effort to just stay awake, I tuned in West Virginia Public Radio, which produces a program on Friday nights, I think 11 to midnight, called Lost Highways. Its host is a really genial fellow by the name of Bill Lynch. I've heard it before and enjoyed it. It's radio the way, oddly enough, for public radio, it's radio the way that late night FM commercial radio used to sound without the commercials. And Bill Lynch has an eclectic taste. If you look it up on the West Virginia Public Broadcasting, WVPublic.org website, they will describe Lost Highways as indie rock, alternative country, Americana, rockabilly, and a lot more. Songs you love, stuff you might have missed, and fresh sounds from artists traveling down musical paths where other people don't go. Plus interviews with songwriters, performers, and people with something to say about American music. And if you want to check me out on this and make sure that I'm not just telling some sort of big tale, well, you can. There's an archive there. And I think you can actually play it from your computer screen. Not right now, mind you. But you can check it out at wvpublic.org/programs and Lost Highways stream. And it's telling me it can't load the stream right now, so we're not going to play that. They probably wouldn't appreciate it anyway. But here's the thing. Toward the end of the program, first of all, I love a good concept from a DJ. And in this particular case, Bill Lynch played two versions of The Highwaymen. The one, the most recent version, as performed by Amanda Pearl Shires and a cohort of fantastic Americana women. And then toward the end of the program, he played the original Lost Highways, which is, oh God, it's like Waylon and Willie and Johnny Cash is on it. And it was just really great radio. But toward the end, he was doing his thank yous and his credits. And he thanked whoever it is that runs some sort of gym or something where he's trying to get or become or stay healthy. No. It was somebody who had introduced him to fasting. That's it. And he said, you know, thank you. And it doesn't suck as much as I thought fasting was going to suck, but it still sucks. A concept with which I, alone in the car, hurtling down the road in the middle of the night, could commiserate. Because, after all, I've been through occasional bouts where I didn't get to eat food for 6 weeks or so. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgia Stan knows a little bit about that, too. And it sucks. But then, and remember, at this point in time, maybe we're a little over 3 hours post the end of Friday on the Front Porch. And that's when it happened. Bill Lynch, host of Lost Highways on WV Public Radio, describing his fasting experience, said, "But that's enough about my fasting. No one wants to listen to my," and I'm paraphrasing, but it was close enough, "no one wants to listen to my," and I couldn't believe it when I heard the word, "lamentations." It was everything I could do to keep from removing both hands from the steering wheel and saying, "Jesus, take the wheel! Glory!" Because the God, it was as sure proof of the existence of the goddess of irony as any I've ever witnessed. And, you know, she's the only deity for whom we have reverence in this community. Steve in New York says, "And of course, Lamentations has probably not been heard on any radio today." And then, on a radio show that did not suck, a radio show that I found eminently listenable, that has a smart, sharp, good host with great musical taste, Bill Lynch, at almost the end, the very end of the program, the goddess of irony reached down, tweaked his pink tomato nose, and caused him to utter the word that a little more than 3 hours before, Steve from New York had said no one else would have said on radio today. And I don't think the program was live, so I don't think Bill was listening. If you are, hey, Bill, cool. But I was gobsmacked. Maybe I was just exhausted. But it felt like a level of Jungian synchronicity that the old Swiss shrink himself would have said, "That is exactly what I am talking about when I am talking about the synchronicity." Yeah. So there's that. I thought, I meant to mention it last night, but I knew that I absolutely had to mention it this evening. Damn. How's about that, sports fans? Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that story to get us started, you know, create a little, you know, a little goodwill, a little joie de vivre, if you will. And just sort of remind us all that while we may not always be thinking of her, the goddess of irony is always thinking of us. Well, okay, that's true. That's true. We have a correction from Ron and Raleigh, who is at the helm of the corrections department this evening. No, not those kind. Here at the Horn, Ron and Raleigh. Really, the only deity? I thought we liked our peanut-loving Hindu deity Ganesh. Ganesh, and that's true. We do. We absolutely do. Back before he was axed from the program, from The Simpsons, Apu Nahasapina Petawan famously told Homer, "Please do not offer," because Homer walked into the Quickie Mart and said, "How you doing, Ganesh? You want a peanut?" And that's when Apu said, "Please do not offer my god a peanut." So we do, occasionally manifest a little bit of respect for Ganesh, because he seems like a downright friendly deity. You know, I guess until he sees a mouse. Wow, this program stays this weird for much longer. You guys are going to start mailing me packs of cigarettes, aren't you? Sorry, hard not to think about them. And, you know, yesterday was Ferg's day off, so I didn't have to do a bunch of driving. I took him to work today and drove all the way home, you know, Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver, like I mentioned a minute ago. And it's really weird. As anyone, and frankly, among addictions, nicotine is probably one of the hardest to kick, because nicotine itself is, at least at one point in time, they said, you know, gram for gram or milligram for milligram, more addictive than heroin. I don't know if I believe that, but, well, yeah, I kind of think I do. But it's just weird that, you know, because I'm satisfying the nicotine cravings with various and sundry little nicotine pouches. I got cinnamon, I got spearmint, I got cool mint, I got citrus, I got black cherry. I got coffee-flavored nicotine pouches, which I found to be most comforting this morning when I wasn't having coffee, because I would have gone crazy for a cigarette. So I've got the craving taken care of. I managed to get one of the cheap-ass, miserable Walmart patches to stick to my arm overnight so that I could have the bizarre nicotine patch dreams and not just wake up completely shaking for, you know, going into the DTs for a cigarette. I'm committed to this. I really want to succeed. But it's weird that you could be satisfying that nicotine craving and at the same time, your muscle memory, your motor memory, automatically reaches over and puts a hand out in the car were the cigarettes. And they weren't there, of course. And I just looked at my right hand as if, the fuck are you doing? Because, you know, it says it's not prayer meeting Wednesday or anything. That's tomorrow. But, you know, if thy right hand do something to offend thee, or no, it's your eye, I think. If it, the Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, itinerant, semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, said, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Even Yeshua had bad days, especially dealing with that cast of clowns and idiots that comprised the disciples. But I was amazed. So I got my little nicotine pouch in. I went and sprang for some name brand nicotine patches today. We'll see if they stick any better than the shitty Walmart ones did. Because I kept the shitty Walmart one on until like 11 o'clock today. And then I looked over at my arm and was like, son of a bitch. It's gone. Wonder when that fell off. Thanks, Bentonville. Yeah. So, yes, there's plenty of stuff going on in the world today, but I just kind of got to work through this because my head's in a weird place. But we'll be okay. And Shan, if you're listening live, Shan down in Georgia, maybe you missed Steve talking about this Friday night. Steve is working on the bagels. You have not been forgotten, as Steve pointed out. So on the way to you will be the lox cream cheese and either the garlic bagels or the 9-grain everything bagels. They will be down the road to you. And you will enjoy them, Shan. Hey, says Megan, don't forget Thor. Don't leave Thor out. Well, I mean, I don't spend a lot of time talking about the metaphysical manifestations of Thor. I mean, I realize there are people out there who have respect for him, Agnes being one of them. Of course, then, it's a little known fact that Agnes is actually a Valkyrie. I didn't know when I married her, but didn't change anything when I found out. What's that, Steve in New York? Okay, I don't want to get too much into this, but what about the Flying Spaghetti Monster, ramen? Okay, that's another one, because we revere the Flying Spaghetti Monster here, too. But the Flying Spaghetti Monster admits that he's imaginary, which is one of the things that makes the Flying Spaghetti Monster one of your more appealing deities. Steve noting, as Sherman Potter would say, joy de vivre. Joie de vivre. So, you know, Steve, you got to be feeling pretty special because obviously the goddess of irony reached down and used you for good on Friday. So I don't know, it's kind of like being promised perfect consciousness by the Dalai Lama, which is good. Yeah. Rusty says, I was told that nicotine is more addictive than heroin from a lifelong heroin user. Couldn't stop smoking, but was able to quit horse. How about that? Yeah. And, you know, the Anthony Bourdain was the same way. He kicked his opioid, his heroin habit. But by the end of his life, he had successfully kicked cigarettes for years and years and years. And then in the final final season of his show, before he decided to check out under his own steam, man, what a bad move, Tony. We sure could use you about now. But then again, he told us everything he knew about Donald Trump and said, well, you know, I'm a New Yorker. We know. But there in the final season of his program, before the checkout, there he was, honking away on a cigarette. Go figure. Well, thank you. Thank you. Rusty says good luck. I appreciate it. Yeah, ain't God as good. You know, Stephen, New York. And with a Jerry Clower reference, I think she's going to be even more impressed. And Rusty sends along another visual. This one, a ship at sea, labeled Trump, obviously the Titanic, a moon hanging over the nighttime skies, and the tip of a mailbox, the corner tip of a mailbox sticking out above the water, and underneath, the iceberg is much bigger under than above the water, and underneath it says United States Postal Service. That's very good, Rusty. Thanks for sharing that. Oh, and Steve in New York wants to know, is it true the gay trees and exploding trees are causing the fires in California? Well, truth has become a relative term and certainly a casualty of this maladministration, but I believe that is what the dementia patient operating occupying 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza said, didn't he?
Just you wait. You'll see.
I heard that phrase, and I time traveled, because that was the exact same phrase that my beloved grandmother, by that time sunk deep into the depths of her own senility, would say when she was, for instance, lecturing us about how if the United States adopted the metric system, we would have to change the calendar, and we would never be able to tell time again. Just you wait. You'll see. Okay. Yep. Oh, and a note from our getting started note as well. From up Ohio way. Bob! Yesterday, I took Giraffe back to the same restaurant where three ladies last week were praying to the baby Jesus for the baby Trump. Interestingly, the baby Jesus grew up, but Trump never did. More on the trip to the restaurant later. However, on the way home last night, as I was watching the sunset in the western sky, Giraffe mentioned that he thought the sky looked very hazy, and I had to agree that those were not clouds we were witnessing, more like a smoky veil covering the sun. So I contacted Ken, my meteorologist floor mate of years ago from Ohio University in lovely Athens, Ohio, and he informed me that the haze very likely could be the residue of the fires on the West Coast. Holy hot air! Giraffe yelped. And if you've never seen a giraffe yelp, you haven't lived. Then I turned on the television and I started yelping and yelling when I heard dumb shit Donnie telling the press corps that the scientists don't know what they're talking about in regards to the fire outbreak in California. I was only hoping John Goodman might have been somewhere close so he could have broken in and yelled, "Shut the fuck up, Donnie," just like he did in The Big Lebowski. Anyways, back to the restaurant earlier in the day. Giraffe and I, as we always do every day, attempted to speak with somebody concerning the upcoming election. Most days we encounter smart, intelligent people who have a decent grasp of what's going on in this country. However, sadly today, we encountered a unique man who was watching the television in the restaurant as the TV was showing video of the fires. So I verbally reached out to him and stated, "Man, those fires are getting bigger and more dangerous every year." Immediately I realized I was speaking to a maggot, minion, because he answered back, "Yeah, them idiots on the West Coast don't know how to keep them fires under control, bunch of dumb liberals. Trump will try to go out there and help them, but they won't listen." Wow, you have no idea how hard that is even to read. I then stated, "What about Alaska? There are a bunch of conservative right-wing people up there and tons of frozen tundra ice is melting and calving daily. If this continues, much of this country and the world will be completely flooded." Suddenly the man realized he had no clue and just sarcastically blurted out, "Well, then I guess we'll have to build a big ark just like the Bible says." he said, laughing. Then he continued, jokingly said, "What's with that giraffe? Does he talk?" I answered, "Yes, but only to people of a higher intellect." Ooh. On the way out the door, Giraffe suggested, since the man wants to build an ark, why don't we go back and give him the phone number of the, wait for it, the archaeologist that you know over at Akron U. Jeffrey continued, "We'll tell the man that archaeologist will help him build the Titanic Ark, but when he arrives, the good doctor will turn the rudders and explain to the unique man the artifacts of life." Oh, you went a long way for that one. You went a long way for that one, Joey. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, September the 15th, with Giraffe keeping his head above water as best he can. Every damn day, says Ron in Raleigh. Once again, the easily fooled are being duped by the Trump regime. The so-called peace agreement between Israel and Bahrain. Yeah, peace agreement between, oh, that just cracks me up. It is nothing of the sort. Israel and Bahrain have never been at war. In fact, Israel and Bahrain have had the same sort of backdoor arrangement as Israel and the UAE. Like Saudi Arabia, Bahrain and the UAE are among the most repressive countries in the world. The sham agreements are being put in place so that the U.S. can once again provide sophisticated weapons to continue their filthy, murderous wars against Yemen and their own populations. The Bahrain deal did not have any concessions about Israeli treatment of the Palestinians or anything else. Well, frankly, because other Arab states selling the Palestinians down the river, a phrase that arose in the American South, by the way, is almost a cottage industry in that neck of the woods. So, no, they didn't have it. There were no statements about the Israeli mistreatment of the Palestinians or anything else. People that pay little attention to the facts on the ground think that anytime Bibi Netanyahu shakes hands with one of the murderous dictatorial sheiks, it's some sort of major move toward peace in the Middle East. But what it actually does is allow murderers like Mohammed bin Bonesaw to consolidate power and continue to run roughshod over the aspirations of his people for civil rights and freedom. Meanwhile, Moscow Mitch is putting forth 8 more federal judicial appointees, which brings the number of Article III judges to 218. Chuck Schumer will, of course, roll over, and these unqualified youngsters will be confirmed. And frankly, there's not a hell of a lot Chuck Schumer can do but roll over. He can piss and moan, he can howl to the heavens, but he can't stop Moscow Mitch. Long after Mitch and Trump are unpleasant memories, all the judges will still be handing down horrible decisions. As Scott in San Diego says, we're all screwed. And to one extent or another, we are. Because, well, as I pointed out previously, the work of fixing what's wrong in this country is not the work of one administration or even of one term or even one two-term administration. It is simply not. Just isn't. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a con. But look, Any time they claim that Donald Trump has brokered a deal, blah blah blah. Well, that's just a tell. That's an immediate announcement that what you're about to hear is a lie, because Donald Trump, Jesus Christ, Donald Trump couldn't make a deal for Baltic Avenue on the Monopoly board. Fuck's sake. So, yeah. Ron and Raleigh is, of course, correct in that assessment. Now, where else to go in amongst all this madness? Well, I confess I do get a kick out of sharing the genuinely excellent, high-quality work of those mean Republicans, those mean never-Trump Republicans over at the Lincoln Project. Here, then, is Nitwit Nero's Minden, Nevada speech in 74 seconds. And believe you me, it took a hell of a lot more than 74 seconds, but it biles down pretty good.
You know why he puts the circles? Because he wants to be, like, correct with COVID, but it's not really. Bring it up. Bring it closer. I can't see it. Damn it. It's really Comcast, but I call it con because it's a whole con. I know some horrible people, horrible human beings, some of the worst people in the world. They'll never find the emails because they were acid washed, dark.
And because it's a visual, I got to stop for a second. When he says, I know some of the worst people in the world, believe me, some of the worst people. Well, that's when the screen pops up with pictures of Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn. Yeah.
Some of the worst people in the world. They'll never find the emails because they were acid washed. Darling, I want to go to bed. I'm exhausted. Donald Trump won the great state of this and that. Darling, let's go out to dinner. My people don't get suppressed. 5 and 4 and 3, 2. Substance abuse of different kinds. Guns. Donald Trump will not do well with women. I said,
Jesus Christ, I love that. Guns. And you hear the maggot faithful lustily cheering. Guns. God, that's like when Lois Griffin was running for mayor of Quahog and said, and 9/11, and the room went wild.
Why am I so bad? End it! End it! I want to end it, darling. Somebody just moved next door. Who is it? It's a representative of Antifa. I'm sorry, we cannot take your call right now. He was a left person. He left. He was a real left, all right. The wind isn't blowing tonight. We can't watch television. You want to see?
Which, when he said the wind isn't, I saw this earlier, when he said the wind isn't blowing tonight, we can't watch television. That was, of course, a repeat from long ago of his screed against those cancer-causing, windmill cancer-causing wind turbines. Mm-hmm. But when he said that out in Minden, all the flags behind him were flapping in the breeze. The goddess of irony pays attention there, too.
See a bird cemetery? Walk under a windmill sometime. They pile up. Honestly, it's terrible. I changed that.
That is terrible. And yes, this is manipulation of the so-called speech. We won't use the term address because there's not that much dignity to it. But it is that. Loopy. A 90-minute downright Castro-like stemwinder into 74 wacky, zany, madcap seconds. Darling.
Isn't blowing tonight. We can't watch television. You want to see a bird cemetery? Walk under a windmill sometime. They pile up. Honestly, it's terrible. I changed that deal a lot. That's now a good deal. And these are statistics that come from people that do this stuff, right? This is not done by my secretary. What did I do? What did I do? How did this happen?
Oh, I know. Damn. Somewhere in there, there's a drinking game waiting to happen. Yeah. Oh, and I wanted to make sure that we went back because last night I got busy with a conversation, and we didn't get around to running it and. Well, for a Titanic Tuesday, you really can't beat it. But hopefully I won't forget it as I run across some of these other things. You know, I mentioned that I didn't bother watching the Mountaineer game this Saturday, nor will I watch or pay attention to any of them. Because they're playing football at a time when they really shouldn't. I mean, God. So, today, the head football coach of the Louisiana State University Bayou Bengals, one Ed Orgeron, a guy whose voice makes Alex Jones sound like Mel fucking Torme, the Velvet Fog. Ed Orgeron announced to assembled reporters,
"Not all of our players, but most of our players have caught it, the Rona. I think that hopefully they won't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games."
How about hoping they don't die, Coach Ed? How about that? Could you maybe that? Just think about it.
Hopefully that once you catch it, you don't get it again. I'm not a doctor. I think they have that 90-day window, so most of the players that have caught it, we do feel like they'll be eligible for games.
What did he mean by 90-day window? Well, the Southeastern Conference, the probably richest and most powerful of the major football conferences in the NCAA, has established a rule. And what a rule it is. The SEC protocol says that if you are if you're a college football player and you've already contracted the Rona, well, dang it. You don't have to be tested again for 90 days. Man, that's some beautiful logic. And, well, LSU is not by itself, but a number of the SEC schools, and not just in the SEC, but nationally as well, they don't report regularly on the number of players who have the Rona, who have been infected during this dondemic. Kind of makes you wonder if Mama and Daddy might deserve to know, but, well, probably not. Because among other things, and then there's Texas Tech. They self-reported 5 more cases of the Rona yesterday. Their number of positive cases is up to 75 since the Red Raider players returned to campus in June. Ed Orgeron also said that Nelson Jenkins, a defensive lineman, has opted out and is not with the team. Said he hadn't spoken to the young man in 2 weeks. Tyler Shelvin opted out last month, but is thinking about coming back.
"We'd take him back. We want him back. If he doesn't come back, then we wish him the best. If not, like any member of our family, we'll take him back."
God damn, you know, if you've ever heard a real clip of Ed Orgeron, he does. He sounds like what would happen if a major university hired Carl, the guy from the character from Sling Blade, to run the program. Jesus. It just goes on and on. Now, up in Maine, of course, there's another spread, Rona spread going on. And this one is more grim. The dateline is Portland, Maine, from the Associated Press. There was a wedding up in Maine. The AP story is accompanied by a photo of a sign. Big Moose Inn, Cabins and Campground, Frederick's Casual Dining, the Loose Moose Bar and Grill. And the AP reports at least 7 people have died in connection to a coronavirus outbreak that continues to sicken people in Maine following a, wait for it, wedding reception held over the summer that was, of course, in complete violation of state virus requirements. That information disclosed by public health authorities in Maine. The wedding took place in August, and there are already 7 dead people from it. There are 175 confirmed cases of the Rona from that blessed nuptial event, according to the Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And because of things like contact tracing, that outfit has noted that there are overlaps from having attended the reception and then other outbreaks all over the state of Maine. For instance, somebody who worked at the York County Maine Jail went to the wedding. And somebody who was on the staff of the Madison Rehabilitation Center went to the wedding. And, of course, that Madison Rehabilitation Center is where 6 of the 7 deaths have occurred. And, of course, the sad thing is that Maine largely had it under control. But then people started grunting and braying and hooting and hollering all about how they had to have some freedom. And there were in fact, more than 50 people at the indoor gathering at the wedding in August. But they had it anyway, and nobody stepped in to stop it or break it up. Because, I guess, white people. Sixty-five people or more were part of that super spreader event. God almighty. The stupid that comes with this disease. No, it doesn't come with the disease. The stupid was always there. This disease just exploits it. Nirav Shah is the director of Maine's Centers for Disease Control. Director Shah said, Maine CDC is concerned about where we are, and I'm asking everyone else to share in that concern. COVID-19 right now is not on the other side of the fence. It's in our yards. The gains that Maine has made against COVID-19 are ones that could and unfortunately can be washed away. Then there's Calvary Baptist Church, where Director Shaw noted that an outbreak has gotten 10 people sick in Sanford, Maine. And that church issued a statement today. A number of Calvary Baptist Church members attended the wedding reception. The statement said the church is taking precautions to limit the spread of the virus and it'll defend its right to continue holding services. Because, of course, continuing to hold services is far more important than continuing to protect lives. The Calvary Baptist Church has a legal right to meet. The thought of a local Christian church, a Jewish synagogue, or a Muslim mosque to gather for their respective religious services is a time-honored part of our nation's history since its inception. These religious activities are also fully protected under the First Amendment to our United States Constitution. That's very close to being on par with a serial killer. claiming a right to continue murdering people at will and at random. And that's what's going to get so many more people dead. Careful there, says Flavio. Bad comparison. Castro was educated by the Jesuits, had studied classical history, Roman and Greek, and had a law degree. He wrote speeches suffused with historical references. History will absolve me, like Roman battles, the siege of Numantia, Greek mythology, etc. He was highly educated, and Trump is an ignorant savage with a barely 50-word vocabulary. Not comparing their vocabularies, I'm comparing the time of the speaking. And Castro was notorious for his 2 and 3 hour stem winders. And of course, Nitwit Nero babbling for 90 minutes at a shot is not far off. Subject line, very angry email. Stephen New York says, the only reason I give the smallest shit about the maggot bioterrorists is that their actions affect those of us who are sane. Were that not the case, I would not care 1/1000th of an iota, or to use a term from the world in which Steve works, he would not care a scintilla euris, which is so tiny as to be mathematically undefinable. I understand. There's a real inclination to say, you know, y'all just go ahead and die. But there's no way of knowing when they're going, where they've gone, or who they've spewed at, and the degree to which, you know, because America is involved in a potentially terminal game of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. With the role of Kevin Bacon in this case being played by a deadly virus. I'm sure you get my meaning. As to college football and LSU, first of all, Steve says, and more importantly, the Big Ten and Pac-12 were right. Second, and way less importantly, the Big Ten is the most valuable, richest, goddamn right, I'm biased. However, it's factual. The Buckeyes are the only program valued over $1 billion. Orgeron.
I sure do like me some of them French fried potatoes.
I wonder if anybody's ever, like, offered a big donation to charity to Ed if he would just say that line. Somebody should. At James in Illinois, as to Trump's 74 seconds or 90 minutes, subject line, bad stand-up, these people eat it up, but when I watch, that's what I picture. He thinks he's Henny Youngman, but the content is more like Vlad Tepes. You know, Dracula. Nice comparison there, James. So, all things taken together, that gets us to, Lost Highway, Bill in PA says, I found a Hank Williams Sr. version of it on YouTube, threw it up on my Facebook page for all to listen to. No, the song was The Highwayman. Lost Highways is just the name of the radio program. I apologize if I wasn't clear on that. Silent R. Lamar says, I'm not a racist. Just saying, if it was a party of 5 blacks with a barbecue pit, the local SWAT would have shown up and 3 of the 5 blacks would now be dead. Go figure. Precisely what I meant. That was very likely. I mean, it's Maine. That was very likely 65 devil-may-care white folks who couldn't be interfered with because... Feed 'em! Wolverines! Yeah. Right. Well, thank you. I'm kind of proud of my Carl impersonation. Laugh out loud. Steve says, your Carl impersonation was spot the fuck on. You gave me my daily laugh out loud. Thanks, Bob. You're more than welcome, Steve. I hope everybody else enjoyed it as well. I remember the first time I watched that movie. I walked into my buddy's store the next day doing my because it just came easy. And he was back in the back working, and I came in doing it. And he ran out thinking maybe Billy Bob Thornton had walked into his premises. So, yeah, I've been doing Carl for a while. Thanks, Steve. Well, damn it. You hate to see things that were meant to last forever fall apart. But, yeah, breaking news from the world of pop culture. They may have vowed to stay till get together till death do us part, but doggone it. There in Fulton County, Georgia, Atlanta, according to wire reports, Cardi B and Offset have called it quits. Yeah, they're... Cardi B filed for divorce from Offset. There's, of course, a 2-year-old little girl named Culture in the mix. It was a secret marriage, you see, back in 2017. No one was supposed to know. And over a year later, in December 2018, they said, that's it, we're done. But then Offset, well, begged Cardi B to forgive him for stepping out on the marriage, and they said they'd stay together for the sake of the baby. But it's just not going to work.
Damn it.
Love doesn't always win out. It just doesn't. I know. Dave number 11 says, I can't go on. Cardi! I know. Ron in Raleigh says, I guess maybe too much WAP? It's as good a guess as any. I mean, that song has become an absolute cultural phenomenon, and this is the holy shit, Bob really is some kind of geezer part of the program, but I was having a conversation with Ferg. We've made so many runs to Beckley that we're really, really scraping the depths of the desiccated pickle barrel for conversational material. Somehow that song came up, and I said, you know, I mean, I'm down with the empowerment that everything that everybody's talking about, and it's cool to talk about sexuality and stuff, but I said, son, some of the imagery bothers me in that WAP song. What do you mean, Dad? I said, well, there's that line about, like, macaroni in a pot. And I said, maybe it's just because I'm of an older generation, or I've got a broader sort of reference base with which to interpret things like that. But I said, I never found it particularly engaging to ponder a woman I was fond of as having genitals that were like macaroni in a pot. Because frankly, that sounds like maybe she's got a near terminal case of human papillomavirus or something. I think Ferg was working on a hamburger or something at that time, and he just spat it out in the paper. Come on, Dad! So there went dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone. I know. Okay. The tidal wave of grief has reached far Connecticut. Darlene noting, oh no! Not Cardi B and Offset! Oh, the humanity! Flavio pointing out, Offset reminds me of Upgrade, you know, from Idiocracy, who spelled his name with two D's for a double dose of his pimping. You misspelled Upgrade, Flavio. You know, I had a friend from Holland whose name was Untgrad. Steve in New York pointing out, Cardi B just couldn't take it when Offset ended up centering himself. That's kind of like a negative cowbell, Steve. But it's quality. It's quality. Yeah. Dadgummit. Tragedy, tragedy. I don't know. I don't know if we can get to the end of the program now. Just so sad. Oh, and I don't know if you caught it earlier today, but while I guess this is an attempt to say, okay, well, you know, we're not gonna charge and try and imprison the murderers for murder. But hey, y'all, here in Louisville, we've settled with Breonna Taylor's family for $12 million. You know, after three cops with a no-knock warrant looking for a guy who was already in custody, busted into the wrong fucking apartment and blew away Breonna Taylor, 26 years old, an EMT who had been trying to save people during the coronavirus pandemic, blew her away in her sleep. $12 million! And they say they're going to have some policing reforms, too. Commanders, shift commanders, watch commanders, are going to have to approve all search warrants before they go to a judge. And this is just another layer of rubber stamps, of course. It wasn't the search warrant that was the problem. It was the fact that the guy was already in custody. It was a no-knock. And they didn't bother to do their due diligence to find out that it was utterly unnecessary. I don't know how a watch commander is going to sort that out. Uh-oh. Robert in Australia is woefully behind the times. Who? I'll say it again. Who? Never heard of either Cardi B or Offset. Well, at least tell me you've heard of Upgrade, because I know you've seen Idiocracy, Robert. Billable Rick says, you really scared me when you said that they had vowed to stay and play together until death. I thought for a minute that you were about to announce that a member of the Rolling Stones had passed away. Whew! As for Cardi B, I'd heard of her, but had no idea who Offset was. Is he related to Onset, as in onset of a disease? No, but I did have a friend from the Netherlands named Untgrad. Yeah, the silent R. Lamar says, please do not ban me from the show, Bob. Why is everybody upset? Offset is Offset. He's off Ms. B set. Ah. Hey, Bob, Ron in Raleigh says, your geezer card is available down to the DMV. You can pick it up there at your convenience. It's probably sitting in a pot of macaroni. Subject line, get the money up front. How much is your baby worth? I wouldn't take $12 billion. Yeah, James, I know. But this has been dinging my news feed all day long. Oh, $12 million. Oh, $12 million. And, hey, the grand jury in Jefferson County, Kentucky, may actually get to hear the presentation regarding the three guys responsible for slaughtering Breonna Taylor in her sleep. In the news article I'm looking at from USA Today, they write, with not a hint of irony, Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron is spearheading the criminal investigation. Apparently, for at least USA Today, the concept of criminal investigation has taken a real beating. Silent R. Lamar's cowbell, Stephen New York, says, I'm going to insist that his cowbell also be a negative one. Well, it is. I mean, that was some horrible, horrible, horrible punnery. But I wanted to get back to something we were talking about last night. And I'm trying to find it. Oh, damn it. Some days I can't type. Oh, maybe there it is. No, that's not it. Well, I was looking for the video of the goofy woman in Australia. But it turns out that there's a lot of these cases. For instance, September 3rd, a pregnant woman said Thursday, because the American disease has made it up over down under. A pregnant woman said Thursday she didn't know she had broken any law when she was handcuffed by police in front of her children in her Australian home and led away in pajamas for allegedly inciting activists to demonstrate against pandemic lockdown. That would be your Zoe Bueller there. Bueller. But then there's Victorian woman films police dragging her from her car by police officers. Jesus. Hey, Robert, y'all got a Karen problem. Police arrest 74 people at Melbourne coronavirus anti-mask event. That was 2 days ago. Conspiracy theorist Eve Black arrested after breaching the rules. And then, I'm like six or seven, and I just typed in Australian woman arrested for not producing license. And it was way down the damn list. Oh, well, Some other time. As to the Breonna Taylor settlement, Billable Rick says, I wonder if the Law and Order, MAGAT Attorney General of Kentucky, Daniel Cameron, was involved in the $12 million settlement. So will that money bring back Breonna Taylor from the dead? No. Or result in the murderous officers being charged criminally? No. Billable Rick agrees and says, I'd say no on both counts. Being a little bit more to the point, Ron and Raleigh says, wait a minute. Daniel Cameron, isn't that the House Negro that spoke at the RNC Clavering meeting? I'm asking for a disgusted friend. The one and only Ron and Raleigh. Yes, he's the one who stood up and told us that, Donald Trump was as good a master as a fella could ever... never mind. Right. So, this is Conversation Radio. If you got something you'd like to bring to the conversation, you are more than welcome so to do. I'm going to check in here and find out what the hell's going on in the wide world of climate change. Brother Deacon Asa says, Breonna Taylor, to the cop's credit, Breonna Taylor was leaning quite aggressively towards the side of the bed she was sleeping on. Those cops were afraid for their lives. What else could they do? I know, they're such timid and easily terrified little things, those cops. Ah, there it is, there it is. Thank you, Steve in New York. Because this is Trump-tanic Tuesday, and just because it happens in Australia doesn't mean it can't be a matter of Trump-tanic intellect, because this woman's straight out of just about any petulant white people protest you'd care to watch in the new 90 states of Merca. Here we go.
I don't have to give you a reason.
Legally you do.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Legally you do.
Do you have any ID?
No, I don't.
No? What's your details?
I'm not prepared to give them to you.
Yeah, are we under arrest?
No.
Well, the issue is you are committing an offence.
Yeah, if you don't give us
no, we're not committing an offence.
You are required by law to provide your name and address.
Which law is that?
It's a Commonwealth offence. Okay.
Which one?
It's Commonwealth law.
Can you show me that one? Well, I've had
no, I don't need to show you. I just informed you.
It's actually not Commonwealth law. You don't know what you're talking about right now.
Okay. Well, either way, you are required to provide your...
Da-na-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na-na. Yeah, Perry Mason theme. Best I can do. Because they're lawyers. Nah, they're really not. These are a couple of good eggs. Just asking for a little RD from the woman who refused to wear a mask. But, well, she's smart and she knows... It's not really a Commonwealth law, now, is it? Well, yes, actually it is. But they're very patient. They are the young constables on patrol, very patient indeed. And this goes on for quite some time before, well, you'll hear it.
No, I am not. I know what I'm talking about. I would not be arguing with you,
don't.
Sir. I would be, I'm telling you the facts. I don't need to give you anything. Have I committed a crime?
Yes.
It's a criminal matter now for not wearing a mask?
Yes.
Okay. Will you arrest us?
Yes.
You can?
Until we can confirm ID.
Okay. We're not prepared to give you ID.
We're going to have to place you under arrest if you don't give us ID.
Say that again?
We're going to have to place you under arrest if you do not give us ID.
And what's your name, sir?
My name's Jared.
Okay. Thank you.
Right there. I'm Phil Gibby.
Okay. Can I have your details in writing, please?
Phil.
And I would like your numbers and the
a couple of good blokes.
Place of work.
So,
well place of work's the police department.
Thank you.
Can I explain what's going on?
No worries.
But it is a $200 ticket.
Whatever you want to do, you do.
Wear a mask.
But I do not consent, so you know that. Okay. And if you do arrest us, we will be suing you.
Okay.
That's one of the best parts. And we will be suing you. Okay? Okay?
It's almost not even an entire phone or phoneme. It's...
Okay? Too right.
Gonna... Yep, you're gonna sue us. Very good, very good, very good. Place your hands behind your back. Ah, well, too right. Look, I'm not having my fun at the expense of your fellow Australians, Robert, and our buddy the Angry Architect, and John Fox, and others up over down under. I'm laughing with you, not at you, because God, maggots are stupid the world over. This is where you haul out the Yosemite Sam impression and you say, maggots is so stupid. Imagine the white privilege. Oh, my Jesus. Imagine the white privilege of looking at a cop and saying, well, we don't consent to be arrested. Let's say maybe... you're not of quite such white extraction up over down under. I wonder how that goes. But to be fair, it didn't go any better for sovereign citizen Karen.
Armed kidnapping?
Fair enough.
The offence
today is because you are not wearing your mask in a public place.
Yeah.
Which came into effect from midnight last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's not a law, it is just a ruling.
Because you have committed an offence,
yeah.
You are required by law to provide your details.
No.
Yes.
No, I haven't committed an offence. Which offence is that?
Not wearing a mask in a public place.
Which is a $200. It came out just a few hours ago.
Which is a 200. Well, the offence started.
Can you prove that? Because the onus is on you to prove that it's actually an offence.
We can't just go around knowing every law. The onus is on us to enforce the offence. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, it is an offence.
Okay.
That is enough.
So you don't make any exceptions?
That is enough.
You don't make any exceptions.
No, we do. We use discretion. We use discretion. No, we use discretion.
These two. Maybe we need to fly these two guys to the United States so they can teach American cops how to behave with aplomb and respect, even in the face of monumental acts of stupidity. Because these two are displaying the patience of fucking Job. And yes, I confess, this is an older clip. But as I told you a minute ago, you look up Australian woman arrested, and it populates a dozen different Australian women. And that's just because I've got the word woman in there. And if you just said Australian arrested, man, anti-mask, Jesus. I mean, this thing is in full-blown nut jobbery up over down under.
But your attitude has been horrible, and you guys are committing
offense. It's horrible.
Yes.
I've been telling you what it is. So I haven't been horrible. I haven't sworn at you. Mm-hmm. I haven't been nasty.
Okay.
I've told you the law. Concerns as to why you can't use a mask, then that's fine, but that's not what you provided us with tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've had no reason to not wear a mask.
Right.
What
about not knowing about it?
No. Well, you haven't stated that at all. You said it
came out last night.
All right.
Yes.
There's no exception to that. It's an irrebuttable fact. Is that okay. Everyone is presumed to know.
You're going to have to wait until I get my lawyer.
No.
If you want to speak to your lawyer, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to wait till you get your lawyer. We're going to arrest you. Because you're fucking nutter.
So we're going to pause this at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, they paused their own video.
Have you got my details on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. There you go.
Thank you. We've got your details.
Yeah, she's got their details. Because while she won't produce her ID, she demanded of them that they provide all of their information to her, which they then did. It's really not going to change the outcome all that much.
All right, I gotta do something here, or else old cousin Crocodile Kincaid is gonna get completely out of hand here. We don't consent, Steve in New York says. Wouldn't that make defense attorneys' jobs so much easier? Just tell our clients they don't consent to being arrested, charged, put on trial, or sentenced. Ah, sorry, Your Honor, they didn't consent. Ah, well, free to go. Subject line, Lady in Oz, Steve, channeling the Law and Order. Dum-dum. Without consent, dum-dum.
Now,
Because you have committed an offence today and you are required by law to state your name and address and you are refusing to provide your details, you are under arrest for that until we can confirm ID.
Okay, so how are you going to confirm ID?
Well, there's several ways. We can take you back to the police station. We can make inquiries there.
How would you take us back
there? We can waterboard you. We can attach, jumper cables to your nipples and put them on a car battery until you tell us who the fuck you are. But, of course, the standard disclaimer applies. Don't go into the comments. Don't do it. Crime needs a victim. Where's the victim in not wearing a mask? It's a statute act bill given the force of law if you consent. If there's no consent contract or joinder, then it is not given any force of law. Statute act bill, a legislative bill for profit, not law, as law has been locked long ago. To claim a fictional rule of law is this not fraud? They now assault for a fictional victimless nun crime is a crime as there are three things that make a crime: harm, injury, or loss. So simple. Oh my, oh my. Apparently, dude here went to YouTube College of Australian Law. Also, they have to ask you for permission to arrest you. This is why they ask, do you understand? Is to stand under their authority. And with a little bit of background for us, Robert says, for the most part, Australian police are pretty laid back. Sadly, this "you can't arrest me" nonsense is spread by the internet. It's everywhere. Well, it started, no offense, Robert, it started here. This is the sovereign citizen movement. No, I refuse. No, officer, I refuse to have a driver's license because I'm a sovereign citizen under the Constitution of the United States. It's in the Constitution. I don't got to have no driver's license. I don't got to pay no taxes neither. What do you mean? Why? Because I said I don't. I'm a sovereign citizen. What do you think sovereign means? Let's get back to Karen.
Sorry?
How would you take us back?
We'll just come up for a unit, get a divisional van coming out here.
I could drive there.
Right, because you're under arrest.
No, you can't drive there. You're under arrest.
We're under arrest.
Yeah, right now. Right now, Karen. Right now.
Sorry?
You're under arrest from the minute that I inform you that you're under arrest, which I did that several minutes ago.
So we are under arrest?
To confirm ID.
Yes, you are.
Really?
So is that for failing to confirm the ID, not for not wearing a mask?
The initial offence, because you committed an offence today, you are required by law to state your name and address.
Okay.
So confirm ID.
So we do not consent to be taken.
Okay.
We do not consent to be taken anywhere.
Oh, please, please, I can't take it anymore. Oh, oh, oh. Breonna Taylor lies cold in the ground, her body pumped full of police lead for having the unmitigated temerity of sleeping while black. Maybe it marks me as a bad person. If it does, I apologize. But throughout these 4 minutes and 19 seconds, I have gotten to the point where I am yearning, I am aching, I am longing to see these two entirely well-behaved police officers saying, well, that's enough now. And, you know, put her in a chokehold. Take her to the ground.
taser, pepper sprayer. For fuck's sake, something. Because this idiotic white privilege is too much. The more you tolerate this shit, I mean, he had the right to put her up against the wall, take her hands behind her back, put the handcuffs on 4 fucking minutes ago. You know, we're going to see you because without consent. Well, at least it has a happy ending.
If you're saying that we're under arrest, can you tell me exactly for what reason again?
Yeah, so because you have committed an offence today, which the offence is not wearing a mask in a public place.
Yeah.
You are required by law to state your name and address so that we can confirm ID. You have refused to state that.
But that's not a law.
No, we've been through this. It is. Meanwhile, the other good Australians are walking back behind Officer Too Friendly here. And you know what? It appears they're walking out of some sort of grocery store or something, because they've all got their, they're all pushing their little jitneys, and they're all wearing a mask! And not having any trouble breathing or suffering constitutional indignities. These two clowns wanted this to happen.
I don't have to give you my details. I'm just a citizen walking around, and at this point, your job is to make sure that we are safe. And I can see you're carrying guns, both of you.
Yes.
So you are now, you know, I'm fearing for my life.
Okay. So
yeah, sure you are, Karen. They're still in their holsters, you fucking idiot. It's not like they've taken one out and pistol whipped you. I generally do not approve of the concept of blackface, but I would approve in this instance of flying Karen from Australia to the United States of America, doing complete, not just blackface, black arms, black everything, and just, you know, seeing and letting her walk up to a cop and give the cop a piece of her, and see how that works out. God, white privilege.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a divisional van to come out here, and we'll transport you back to the police station. We'll check your photos on the system and see if that recognizes anything, until we can confirm ID. Okay?
Right.
Do you have any questions?
I do not consent to that, and I will be suing you personally.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to wait until after you're arrested to do that.
They'll hear about it, but will both be personally sued for $60,000 each. And he will be suing you for $60,000 each.
Oh, $60,000. Look at all these fabulous prizes. Jesus.
Do you want to continue?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that, I love that. Do you want to continue? Yes.
You want to continue?
Yes.
Great. Let's go.
Okay. Give me a second.
Yeah, sadly, we don't get to the part where they rough her and cuff her, because they didn't. They probably even opened the door for her. Jesus. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, you know, I for a long time have thought Australia as America wannabe. No, they're their own folks, and ever so much better than us in many ways. But it seems like everything bad that comes out of America finds its way into some little cesspit or fetid little corner in Australia. And for that, Robert, Angry Architect, etc., we are immensely sorry. We don't mean to send you the worst of us, but apparently there are people there in your country who are as hungry for stupidity as about a third of the American population here is. And it's just bad. Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's a retroactive cowbell. I missed that one. Lee in New York observing earlier. Cardi B talking about the macaroni in a pot line. I think she redefined the concept of food porn. I think you're right. No, I haven't coughed anything up that looks like escargot yet. Helen, day two without a cigarette, Asa. You think, oh my God, there, that's it. Dinner in the Central Daylight Time Zone is fucking done. Now see, we're done with the Australia story, and Crocodile Kincaid is still trying to get out and play. Oh, okay. Robert says, we don't do that in Australia. The Australian police don't put you up against a wall and handcuff you. They put you under arrest and ask you to get in the van. You will be manhandled into the van if you don't go quietly. If you struggle and resist, they will use two or three officers to put you in the paddy wagon. Yes, some police here will lose it from time to time. They're not the norm, though. You think y'all could maybe put on a seminar for the cops here? Mighty Mouse says, thanks, Bob, for your best Aussie. Can you send me the link to the Karen Down Under? Can't find it on the YouTube. Would love to share it with my wife and her liberal lawyer friends in Sydney. Oh, mighty. I'm guessing they've already seen her, but, make sure I've got the audio back down. If you go to YouTube, Mighty, this will be the easiest way to go about it. Look up SovSit, SOV, CIT, SovSit, Karen, arrested for refusing to ID for no mask. SovSit, Karen, arrested for refusing to ID for no mask. God, this is just precious. Here, I'm putting in an email to you just to say. And there it is. There it is. Mighty Mouse, enjoy. Hey, well, thank you very kindly to Nagla. We just knocked out part of Tony and Chico's new subscriber challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Nagla. Thank you very much indeed. And so that takes us down to 185 to finish this Trump-tanic Tuesday, this Trump-tanic Tuesday of oh so much madness. God almighty. We are past the halfway point of the program now. If you'd like to engage in conversation, this is Conversation Radio. Sparky would love to hear from some new and other voices, he said. And if you've already always sat around saying, you know, I'd like to call a talk radio program, but I'm just too nervous and they don't give you enough time to say what's on your mind, today's your lucky day. Because you can jump right into the conversation. You'll have all the time you need to get said what needs saying. You know, as long as you're not a maggot or anything like that, because they're not allowed here. So let's take a moment and see what's going on in the mad world of climate change and the like with the green news. Here's Brad and Desi.
It's Tuesday, September 15, 2020.
Hurricanes often come with more water than wind. This one has both.
Hurricane Sally approaches the U.S. Gulf Coast with more hurricanes on the way.
This is a climate dam emergency. This is real.
Deadly West Coast wildfires break more new records. Plus,
if you give a climate arsonist 4 more years in the White House, why would anyone be surprised if we have more America ablaze?
Former Vice President Joe Biden blasts climate denier Trump and urges swift action.
All of those blasts and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
It'll start getting cooler. You just watch.
I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
Okay, science doesn't know, but Donald Trump does. Yep, global warming will just go away, just like COVID did. Am I right, 200,000 dead Americans? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, before we get to the absolutely appalling, idiotic, disgusting latest thing the President of the United States said, we got another hurricane coming in, don't we?
Oh, hell yes, we do. We've got compounding climate disasters. Climate change intensified megafires burning out west, a mega drought across the southwest, and Hurricane Sally bringing flooding to the Mississippi Delta, all during a pandemic straining emergency services everywhere.
Other than that, things are going great.
Oh, and on Monday, an enormous chunk of Greenland's ice cap broke off in the Arctic, a development that scientists say is evidence of rapid climate change.
Things are going very, very well.
So first up, the 2020 Atlantic hurricane season is truly historic, fueled by man-made climate change warming the oceans. There are now 5 storms spinning in the Atlantic, and that's happened only once before on record since 1850. As we go to air, Hurricane Sally is lumbering toward landfall on the Gulf Coast after rapidly intensifying to a Category 2. The National Hurricane Center warns Sally will bring life-threatening storm surge and flash floods because of its slow forward progress and intense rainfall.
I would just like to remind everyone that parts of Louisiana are still suffering from Hurricane Laura. Parts of the state are still without electricity and under boil water orders.
Yep.
And here we are, another one coming ashore.
Sally is the earliest S-named storm ever recorded, and so are tropical storms Teddy and Vicky now brewing in the Atlantic. That puts us 3 weeks ahead of the previous record hurricane season in 2005.
Oh, but you know, science doesn't know what it's talking about.
NOAA on Monday announced that this summer in the Northern Hemisphere was the hottest summer in history since record-keeping began in the 1850s, and that August 2020 was the second hottest August globally. Meanwhile, wildfires continue to engulf parts of the West. In California, Oregon, and Washington, wildfires have now burned more than 5 million acres so far this year, a record. At least 35 people have been killed, tens of thousands evacuated, thousands of homes, and even entire communities have been destroyed, and officials warn of long-term contamination of drinking water systems and soil from the fires. The August Complex Fire in Northern California is now the largest in state history. It has burned more than 1,000 square miles and destroyed half of the Mendocino National Forest. Idaho has now become the latest western state to face evacuations due to wildfire. Climate and forest scientists say man-made global warming is directly responsible for intensifying the fires by dramatically deepening heat waves and drought, plus a century of U.S. Forest Service fire suppression policy. But on a visit to California on Monday to tour the devastation, President Trump blamed the states for the fires, again peddling absurd, repetitive falsehoods that they need to rake their forest floors. When California State Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot urged Trump to recognize climate science and work with states on solving the crisis, Trump denied it exists.
If we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians.
Okay. It'll start getting cooler.
You just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
He is an idiot. And a deadly one at that.
In stark contrast, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden rebuked Trump for denying basic science on both the coronavirus and climate change during a speech on Monday in Delaware. Calling Trump a climate arsonist, Biden warned that extreme weather impacts now threaten every state. The costs and the damages will get worse, but it can be solved with urgent action.
We can and we will solve the climate crisis. It'll be the greatest spur to job creation and economic competitiveness in the 21st century, not to mention the positive benefits to our health and our environment.
Biden has proposed investing $2 trillion in upgrading the nation's infrastructure for climate resilience and to transition the nation to 100% clean energy.
It can't happen soon enough. Of course, he's got to win first. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
The more you ignore me, the closer I get. You're wasting your time.
And so we are well on the way to the third hour of the program, and I need to send out big, big thank yous. Thank you very kindly to Jennifer. Jennifer, have I ever seen something from you come through before? Jennifer just jumped in and helped out with the fundraising, and that takes us down to 165 to knock out the evening. Thank you very much indeed, Jennifer. Your participation is most kindly appreciated. Thank you for being a partial sponsor of independent, liberal, progressive, non-capitalist radio. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you very much. Steve, meanwhile, says, I'd like to give a cowbell to the whole Horn Family Community Congregation. We've really stepped up on fundraising in this tough time of the Dondemic and political campaign. Let's keep it going. Thank you, Steve. I agree with you entirely. This cowbell's for you. Not you, Steve. You, all of you. I mean, you too, Steve, because you're part of it. Oh, Jesus, how do I get myself into this? As to the Sovsits, and well, it turns out that Sovsit Karen is also known as Botox Becky. Thank you, Ralphs, for that Reddit link. She's an anti-vaxxer, sovereign citizen, cosmetic nurse who has also been caught, like, oh, what else? Exploiting her four-year-old kid for her weird obsessions. Robert in Australia explaining, it's one of those weird groups up in Byron Bay, which is a center for alternative lifestyles, i.e. loony anti-vaxxers, evangelicals, smarter-than-everyone-else types, and what's left of the 60s hippie movement. They started a Freedom Day movement, which are the demonstrations we've been seeing here in Oz over the last 2 weeks. It's only a few hundred people. Dum-dums looking for something to protest. And this tool, Tom Barnett, holistic health practitioner, is one of the main ones. There's something about Brian Bay that attracts these types. He makes statements like, you can't catch a virus. They inject them into you when you get vaccinated. So don't do that. Or he did until YouTube removed all his videos that made those claims. And, you know, to recall the words of the late, great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, that's a good dollar. That anti-vax dollar is a good dollar. Mighty Mouse says, I just kept hearing the ladies gaggle in the accent in the clip. One voice in particular. Trust it wasn't one of them. That generally saner society has their share of one nation types. If they haven't heard it, I'm certain they'll get a laugh, as I did. So share it on. I hope they do. And enjoy it. Enjoy it in good health. Speaking of which, before I go over to the phones, just one little thing I wanted to mention. Did you guys know that Q has been caught? Yes. Yes. I'm not kidding. Turns out, after some intrepid digging, the man behind one of the most popular QAnon websites got outed. We're talking about QMAP, QMAP.PUB, noted as being, by the Detroit News, noted as being one of the largest websites promoting the QAnon conspiracy, with over 10 million visitors in July. Well, some smart computer people started digging around a fact-checking site called logically.ai, went rooting around and found a fellow by the name of Jason Gelinas, G-E-L-I-N-A-S, of New Jersey. They identified him on September 10th as, quote, the developer and mouthpiece for the QMAP.pub website. And state records in New Jersey connect the Q app anon to Gelinas' home address, according to Bloomberg News. Naturally, some reporter called, and Gelinas answered the phone and declined to comment on the Logically report, saying only someone had sent it to him on Twitter after it was published. Now, I'm not going to comment on any of that. I'm not going to get involved. I want to stay out of it. Wearing an American flag baseball cap, clue, dum-dum, Gelinas said that QAnon is a patriotic movement to save the country, dum-dum. But here's where it gets interesting. He's not just living in mom's basement, cranking out QAnon conspiracy theories. According to a LinkedIn profile, Gelinas claims to work as an information security analyst at Citigroup. One of my favorite parts of the story is where it says, security analyst at Citigroup. Citigroup declined to comment. I bet they did. And then Bloomberg goes on to point out that QAnon thinks that Donald Trump is secretly battling a cabal of cannibalistic child pedophiles who include Tom Hanks and Oprah Winfrey. Right. Q app anon is Gelinas' online handle, and he runs a Patreon account. Yeah. And in fact, it was back in March that Q app anon, you know, Mr. Gelinas, announced that there would be an Android app coming up called Armor of God, which was going to be a social network for followers of QAnon. Well, if you want to run over to the Google Play Store, you'll find that Armor of God has a profile there, designed for patriots worldwide to create and share content, including prayers, news, memes, and posts. So you got to wonder what's, well, I mean, it's not going to make QAnon go away, but at least we know who one of the lead Qs is, which I guess is kind of important because there's a story out there in the last day or so all about how QAnon is, and I wish I was kidding, spreading fuck in Europe. No, really. According to an article by Agence France-Presse, earlier today, QAnon, the U.S.-based conspiracy about a Satan... It's hard to read that with a straight face. QAnon, the U.S.-based conspiracy about a Satan-worshipping pedophile cabal secretly running the world, is taking root in Europe, feeding on fears stirred up by the coronavirus outbreak, according to analysts. Gee, I hope they're not analysts for Goldman Sachs who happen to work with Mr. Gelinas. Anti-vaxxers, white supremacists, and government skeptics in Europe are starting to buy into the ill-defined but pro-Donald Trump conspiracy that emerged across the Atlantic in 2017. Dozens of European QAnon offshoots have sprung up online while protesters have brandished Q-themed messages at demonstrations in Berlin, London, and Paris, denouncing face masks and other measures to curb the pandemic. I had a story, all my tabs disappeared, but I had a story recently pointing out that German police had to move in and break up a massive super spreader event in Berlin of exactly that kind of goobers. And with a functional working knowledge of history, well, it occurred to me as I read that, we've rather enjoyed a fairly stable Germany for a while. And when the ordinarily reliably pragmatic Germans, when they start buying into QAnon, you know, that's when Europe generally starts to worry a little bit. Yeah, yeah. No, and I got to go back now. We got to backtrack. No, Arnold, no, I am not playing WAP. One, it would ruin the file, and I'd get a notice about copyright infringement or something. I can't read that, Arnold. Oh, boo-hoo, no more WAP. Come on, it's a sensation. No, I'm sorry. You cannot make me. Uh-uh, just no. Not a gonna. Oh, his analogy to macaroni in a pot. Most meals for the next 3 weeks would be in jeopardy. No. Okay. He says the macaroni in a pot reference is like, would be like throwing a pool cue in a swimming pool. Okay. Okay. Hey, thanks a bunch. Our buddy Mighty Mouse jumping in. Thank you very kindly. That takes us down to 1:45 to finish the evening. That's tremendously helpful. Thank you so much. My best to you, he says, and to all of us. Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, I'm missing the show tonight because of exhaustion and trying to not get even more enraged over the fact that America, especially ICE, has gone full Nazi. But, and forgive me if you mentioned this, I read about Kushner saying this morning, Woodward has tapes of everything. I have tapes of everything. Is he going to throw the whole Trump criminal and enterprise under the bus at the end of this and cut a deal to get off? Just throwing it out there. Well, you know who else has tapes of everything? Ah! Michael Cohen has tapes of ever-damn-fang. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, and quoting my buddy Timothy Kuntz, no, he really is. He's a buddy of mine. I've known him for decades. Flavio says of QAnon, you're going to love this. QAnon claims that President Donald Trump entered politics with the secret mission of taking down an underground group of Satan-worshipping pedophiles that has members across all levels of government and key institutions. Q's now been outed pursuant to some wily social network analysis and detective work by SimilarWeb Limited. Turns out that this patriot is actually the information security analyst at Citigroup, one of the biggest banks in America. So the Democrats are being attacked by Citigroup's security IT guy pretending to be a patriot guerrilla attacking the deep state. Sure is a grassroots movement, huh? There has never been a bigger bunch of manipulated suckers, losers, rubes, or gullible hapless victims than the right-wing idiots who follow Trump and QAnon. Duped by the big banks on Wall Street, LMFAO. There's a Trump sucker born every minute, and ain't that the truth? Okay, let's run over to the stress line, see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program. You're on.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. This is Jay from Spokane, Washington.
Oh, hey, Jay.
In the middle of the wonderful, from the smoky haze of the joy of climate change.
So would that make it Smokane, Washington?
Yeah, there you go. In fact, there are a number of pot sellers in town.
Okay, so time out. I'm self-awarding here. Okay, we're good now. I just gave myself a cowbell.
Well said.
Thank you.
Well said. So on the site Daily Kos, or Kos, whatever it's however.
Yeah, who knows?
The MD who's performing all those lovely hysterectomies has been outed.
Yeah, what the hell? What? Yeah, I haven't gotten to that because I've been trying to source it and get a better handle on it. Why don't you, Jay, help us out a little bit, would you?
He's an OBGYN operating out of a clinic with hospital rights somewhere in Georgia. His name is Amin Mahendra, educated in what looks like either Pakistan or India, Kashmir. That's kind of a border area there, so hard to say what nation, what his nationality originally was. No indication what his citizenship is. And there are already comments going on his Yelp review about him being a hysterectomy fan, or a contract MD for ICE. So yeah, it's,
God, there's no basement, there's no bottom.
There isn't really. No, there isn't.
I mean, this goes. You remember all the way back to Bush War II. Back in 2003, remember the private practicing psychologist who had no experience whatsoever in this particular field of interrogation or information acquisition, and they dreamed up the idea of how to torture prisoners that we took over there?
Yes, and guess where they were from?
Georgia?
Spokane, Washington.
Oh, Spokane. Oh, okay. Wow, that is a loop.
Yeah, it is, yes. Very scary. In fact, last time I saw counseling at the beginning of the year, I had to ask the counselor, okay, you have to level with me. Where do you stand on this? What's your, you work for this medical facility and you're a licensed counselor and all that sort of thing. What's your idea of torture? Unfortunately, they said, well, we're kind of against that sort of thing. So, great, good for them. I am too. I'm against torture. Yikes. Scary. Could I shift gears a little bit?
You go anywhere you want. It's a regular joint.
Okay. Something seems to me that we could do something that could really, really piss off the entire Trump clan. What if we were to plant stories indicating, there's all these tapes out there, right? So what if we came up with something that would indicate that the Trumps are fracturing, that the Klan is fracturing? One of the things that took down royal families in the past is son one knew that son two was trying to become the king. And so, he would get with dad and say, you need to get rid of son two. He's plotting against you. He's going to, have you killed.
Well, hell, that's part of the plot to King Lear. That's how old that concept is.
So why couldn't we plant something like that just for fun? There could be, photos leaked of, Jared involved in pedophilia. He could be part, and wouldn't the QAnon lovers like that?
They would ignore that offhand because that's impossible.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, even if there was video of Trump, killing and barbecuing white children on the barbecuing them on the White House lawn with Hannity looking in approval in the background, there'd probably be no reaction.
See, you're getting the hang of it. Yeah, you got it. You got it, Jay.
Yes, and the same thing with if Dr. Mahendra is performing abortions, then that's probably good too because, those were evil babies. We knew they were going to grow up and become bomb throwers or bomb holders, and they'd be blowing up federal buildings.
Right. I mean, that's that's straight out of who was the colonel at the Sand Creek Massacre in Colorado in the 19th century. When he was asked what to do about the the women and children in the indigenous camp? He said, kill them all, nits make lice.
Yes, that's
pretty much the same mindset.
Or Book of Joshua in the Old Testament, you know, kill everything. Even the livestock. I once had a conversation.
Walks, crawls, beasts of the field, turn the earth and salt it. Yep.
I once had a conversation with a pair of Jehovah Witnesses who came to preach the Lord, Jimmy, or their Lord.
Glory.
And I asked them, so I get killing all the humans. I get that. But why kill the goats and the sheep?
You know, what the hell did they ever do? Right.
Yeah. You know, I get the pregnant women and all that, but because, you know, they're going to have babies, and those babies are going to grow up to be, you know, anti Jehovah lovers. So, you know, they deserve to die. Perfect. You know? Plus, if you kill them in the womb, you know, they're not, they don't register for original sin, so they go straight to heaven. You know? So
I think that's how the magic's supposed to work.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I'm surprised Christians ain't killing babies in the womb now. You know, because the preborn are going to go straight to heaven. It's not what you want.
Well, I mean, it's not like during the Bush War II we didn't murder a few innocent Iraqi civilian women who might have been, you know, pregnant at the time. It's almost statistically impossible that we didn't.
Very true. And oddly, we now look fondly, kind of, at, you know, Bush 2. Oh, my God. Isn't that horrible to say? I so hope that Mr. Biden wins this freaking election. I hope he gets, you know, a landslide like LBJ did in 64. Oh, God,
that would be beautiful. I don't know if we're capable of that, though, Jay.
We may not be. But if he does, if there is a blue tsunami, oh, my goodness gracious. Can you imagine Sally Yates, Attorney General?
You know what? It's absolutely some of the most delightful manifestations of fantasy that I can come up with. Sally Yates, Attorney General. Some real young hotshot lawyer on the Supreme Court, and of course the one thing I always worry about is, you know, will we be as relentless in approving judges if we have the Senate in approving judges as say Chinless Mitch has? Or if Chinless Mitch is still there, will he simply slap Chucky Schumer around for a while and make Chucky apologize for wanting to approve any judges?
Well, I think Chucky Schumer should just, Mitch just needs to, he just needs to end one way or another. I don't know. Don't mean that in a bad way. Just, you know, maybe he, I don't know, just go away. But, you know, it'll get cooler, just like the president said, right? In California?
Yeah, it's just going to cool off.
It's just going to get cooler. There's also in today's news, I think I saw this on Crooks and Liars. Kramer, you know, the crazy financial dude?
Yeah.
Insulted Nancy Pelosi to her face.
Yeah, I saw that. What a dirtbag.
Yeah. You sanctimonious piece of
shoe leather.
Garbage. Well, I go lower than that. Jesus. Just freaking horrible. And, you know, the thing that people just, you know, the maggots, the red hats, they don't see this kind of stuff because they're in the cult, they're drunk in the Kool-Aid.
And they're not, and Hannity's not talking about it, and, and Judge Jeanine in between boxes of wine. She's not talking about it. Fräulein Ingram isn't talking about it. And they're certainly not talking about it over there on Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. So how could we possibly expect them to know that?
Oh, give yourself a bell, cowbell for that one. That's good. That's good, my man. But, you know, there's CBS came out with a 3-part documentary on, you know, the rise of fascism, how dictators become dictators and how they turn democratic societies into fascistic societies. And, you know, these are, you know, Trump's playing it going by pretty much all the rules. My goodness gracious, it is frightening to see. And consequently, it makes it easier to see why the Germans were so misled in the 30s. Especially them, because they didn't have a couple hundred years of democracy behind them, or at least republicanism behind them. You know, they went from a monarchy to a kind of a republic to a dictatorship in the space of 20 years. So I kind of didn't understand how that transformation takes place. And here we are, 250 years post-1776, or thereabouts, almost, and we're basically going through a lot of those steps, maybe more Mussolini than Hitler, but it's truly, truly frightening. You know, the next thing, if Trump does get somehow back in office, we're done. We're done. You know, there's the only time we'll ever see a non-Trump will be if there's an assassination, kind of thing, or the treason trials in the family kind of thing. What Caligula did to his family members, or Nero did.
That was Nero, members. Yeah. Stomped his pregnant wife to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how the Julio-Claudian dynasty came to an end. Nero stomped his pregnant wife to death.
Yeah, and then they finally had some sense and got rid of him. That is true, didn't they? Something like that.
Can't recall, but let's see. He followed Claudius and then then you get the year of the two emperors, Galba and Otho.
Year of the four emperors.
Or the four emperors,
69.
Yeah. Yeah, Galba, Otho. Was Vitellius one of them?
I don't remember the other two names. I know that Galba and Otho were two of them. Yikes.
Yeah, I've been trying to come up with a Galba and Otho reference for Nitwit Nero, but they're so fucking obscure that it's almost like there's no point to it. You know, Venereal Vespasian, Marcus Aurelius, you know, folks can wrap their minds around that. Galba and Otho just get no love.
True. They don't. If there is a blue tsunami, one of the things that, speaking of going back to ancient Rome here, one of the things when there was a particularly onerous emperor, and Nero being a good example of this, is the Senate would pass a resolution that I'm guessing at the pronunciation, don't know Latin, damnatio memorare, where they would
damnatio memoriae.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
That's where you erase you erase every reference, every mention, every
statue, every
piece of evidence that he ever even existed.
Yes.
Sulla did that with Marius, and the priestly class who were basically running Tutankhamun did that with the memory of Amenhotep. No, Akhenaten. Akhenaten. I'm sorry.
So that's what this country will need after Trump is not reelected. All of the persons of his ilk, you know, you got Roger Stone, convict Roger Stone, telling him to martial law and start shooting people and killing people. You got Trump who's, there's got to be retribution, you know? Yeah, sure. What about, all this law and order nonsense? Oh, that doesn't apply to you people because you're against me. Yeah, yeah. God. If it left up to me, I'd put a guillotine on the White House lawn and I'd start bringing them in and here you go.
Well, I'm a little more gentle than you. I'd like to see us do what France did with the low-level collaborators after the Second World War. They shaved their heads and marched them through the middle of town. Can you just see Fräulein Ingram and Juicebox Janine, shaven-headed, walking right smack down fucking Broadway in New York? I mean, isn't that just a delightful image?
Could we throw rotten vegetables?
Absolutely. And Sean Hannity, whom I've referred to for over a decade now as that life support system for a haircut. And we're not talking about a nice, with the shaving cream and everything. No, this is the buzz cut with the little stubble, the G.I. Joe stubble on top, and just march them right through, right down Broadway.
Yeah.
It's satisfying to at least think about, like, isn't it?
It is. I'd still have a collection point once they've done the march and collect them and say, okay, now the next part of your punishment is something that takes care of them. Gosh, yikes. Also, I worked in finance most of my career.
Okay.
Still do, as far as that goes. When I'm older, I'm, past 60, but not quite 65. And so I've had to deal with a lot of executive types that, earn, north of a boatload of cash. And I've been kind of their flunky in a lot of ways to get stuff done, move money around, all this jazz. So, of course, now we're in, earlier this year, of course, we had, the COVID stimulus package that has now ended with the $600 a week added unemployment to folks. And in some cases, some people did in fact make more money on unemployment than they did earning money, or working, right? And I live in a state where the minimum wage is right now $13.50 an hour. So, in other states, like, you go across the border to Idaho where the minimum wage is $7.25, well, you're really raking the cash in, relatively speaking. But anyway, my CFO that I work for made the comment that, I'm so glad that $600 a week thing ended because we couldn't convince a lot of our warehouse workers to work. They wanted to stay out on unemployment. And I told her, well, then you're not paying them enough. You need to pay them more money. That's the problem.
Ding!
That's the problem that they're making, they can make more money going on unemployment. What do you think that $600 a week is?
Right, that doesn't say anything. That doesn't.
An hour times 40.
Right, that doesn't say anything about the safety net program. That says something about the shitty pay of essential workers. Because the little pissant the one third of a lockdown that we got, we did suddenly find out that we actually cared about the people that made it possible for the damn grocery store to be open.
Yes, true.
And
true.
And you know, shitty companies like Kroger giving hazard pay and then turning around and saying they were going to take it back. When it was pretty obvious the pandemic was not over. But what you got to think about, Jay, is think back to the cool kids clavern there last month, the Republican convention. Did you notice how the only time that they mentioned the pandemic, they used the past tense?
I did not notice that.
It is an absolute fact.
That's good to note. I did not pay that.
And so, his little maggots think that it's over. That's why, for instance, here in West Virginia, as I played the audio yesterday, they were out there hooting and grunting, "Stop destroying our children! Let them play! Let them play!" At their own maggot governor. Because they don't care. You know, they've been told by their god emperor that there's nothing to worry about, and Bob Woodward's audio tapes are just fake news.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, see, he wasn't trying to. He was trying to avoid inciting a panic. See, that's it. That's right. That's right. People would have panicked. No. That wasn't meant for you. He doesn't give a fuck about you. He doesn't care about you. He cares about the stock market.
Ding. Okay?
That's all he cares about. That's all he cares about is the freaking stock market. Okay? So he doesn't care about you. Even to the lady, what was it, the other night, who asked him, "Aren't you afraid of getting, I'm a far distance away from you. I'm up here. You know, stay back there."
Well, and you have to remember at that indoor rally in Minden, Nevada, did you notice that all the people behind him? Now, I'm not talking about the maggots down on, the groundlings out in front. The maggots behind him, though, you could actually see maggot staff going through and making sure that everybody was masked up so they couldn't hoot and bark and grunt and growl viral particles at the god emperor.
Well, yes, very true, very, very true, very true. Meanwhile, the peasant rabble was allowed to mix and grunt and get all and sickify on themselves and spread their various incendiary airborne particles together so that they could breathe in the joy of being in the presence of their dear leader.
You know, that quote from Pink Floyd's The Wall, and I've used it several times, it comes in so handy whenever you're talking about maggots. Are you any kind of a Pink Floyd fan at all?
Yes.
Okay, somewhat. So, what is it, In the Flesh? "So you thought you might like to go to the show to feel the warm thrill of confusion. That space cadet glow."
Ooh.
That's a Trump rally.
That is. And something else we have to keep in mind and remind people that if Trump wins, that classic statement from 1984, the future is a vision of a boot stamping on a human face.
There, that, exactly.
So, vote blue, even if you have to hold your nose, although with Mr. Biden, I don't think that's true. I think he's, comparatively speaking, a fine, upstanding man, well worthy of our vote. And I hope that he is elected been elected with.
Well, you know, if you're at all familiar with the program, you know what I've said, Jake. My vote for Joe Biden will be the single most patriotic thing I have ever done in my life. I was never subject to the draft. I didn't have to go through something like the Great Depression. And, well, frankly, wearing a mask is a patriotic event as far as I'm concerned, too. But voting for Joe Biden will be, and you know, the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol. This is where they miss the point. You know, we are trying to keep a little fire in the corner of the basement from burning. We're trying to put the fire in the house out. It's already well past the basement. We're just trying to save the house itself structurally. And standing in the yard while everybody else is part of the bucket brigade and hollering, "God damn it, I want a pony," is not going to save this country. So, you know, because I get offended when people say, "Well, I guess I'll hold my nose and vote for Joe Biden." I'm not holding my nose. I'm going to go with a smile on my face and a song in my heart. Actually, I'm going to vote by absentee, but if I have to go to the polling place, I by God will. And I'm going to go with a song in my heart and a smile on my face because it will be the most patriotic thing I have ever done, trying to save America, to do my little part to save America from the greatest domestic threat this country has ever faced.
And probably the greatest threat to humanity the world has ever faced, thinking of climate change.
Well, climate change, or remember, before he even became president, he said,
"Why do we have all these nuclear weapons if we can't use them?"
And he has the nerve to refer to the Pentagon brass as being warmongers.
As well as other things.
Yeah.
That orange piece of shit. God, don't get me started.
Oh, I know. Don't get me started. I know. It makes your brain hurt.
Yeah, for him to call those who have given their lives for the country just makes you want to vomit. They call them losers and suckers.
He was being honest, Jay. Because back when he was getting his Klansman daddy to lean on one of his tenants who happened to be some sort of quack sawbones to write a letter for his son saying he had terminal bone spurs and that meant he couldn't go to Vietnam. Well, Donald Trump thinks that makes him smart and everybody else losers and suckers because they didn't have a Klansman daddy who could lean on a quack tenant to write a letter like that.
Very true. Very true. And even today, volunteer military is still filled primarily by individuals that see the military as their best option post high school.
The general term for that is the poverty draft. And God knows we see it here in Appalachia, and it can be that's why the recruiters come to crummy little high schools like the one up the road from me, where they haven't taught. Where they haven't taught Latin in the entire history of that school, where history is an afterthought, where even something as necessary in this day and age as Spanish is taught remotely on a TV, where no one has graduated from that school and gone to the Ivy League since Christ was a corporal in the army of God. Well, that's where the recruiters set up. Because they know
that's where
the recruiting base is. And it's the same thing in the cities. You know, the recruiter doesn't go to the high school where the well-heeled go. They go to the high schools that hang on by their fingernails, just trying to get the kids minimally educated so that they can get them out into the world and sweat for every damn dollar.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
And one of the, I mean, if you can say one of the nice things about the military, one of the good things about the military is that it does have a leveling effect. Everybody is equally contemptible when they enter the military. Because nobody's ready for it. And so everybody gets pretty much equal treatment.
I'd have to agree. I mean, when I served a long time ago, of course, it was also a good, what's the word? It helped you become at least aware of your fellow human beings from other parts of the country, and other races. If you're not terribly, you know, if you don't have a whole lot of exposure to persons.
Right. And while racism and white supremacy exist inside the military, we know that. By the same token, the old foxhole analogy still applies. If you're worried about the skin color of somebody who is responsible for, who can be responsible for saving your sorry ass, your priorities are severely screwed up.
Yeah. If you have issues with the person who's covering your flanks, the battle's lost.
Precisely.
So the four emperors in AD 69, Galba, Otho, Vitellus, and Vespasian.
Okay, I thought Vitellus was one of them. You know how I always remember Vitellus? I mean, Galba and Otho, Galba and Otho. And by the way, Bill in PA came up with a name for Otho. Obese Otho. For Donald Trump. You know, Nitwit Nero, Obese Otho. I mean, we've covered the entire Julio-Claudian dynasty, and now we're past it.
True. Vicious Vespasian, or Vicious Vitellus. I think it more applies to Vespasian.
Well, I said venereal Vespasian, so Vicious Vitellus works. We need a G for Galba.
Grifter Galba. How about Grifter?
Grifter Galba, that works. Grifter, yep. Grifter Galba works.
On his march to Rome, he either destroyed or imposed enormous fines on towns that did not accept him immediately. Oh, that sounds like a grifter.
That is a grifter. By God.
And Vitellus.
I always remember Vitellus because I always remember Vitellus because Vitalis.
Yes.
So Vitalis Vitellus.
Or inauspicious. So he had problems after he had a day of bad auspices, which is one of their religious rites. And so he was inauspicious. So inauspicious, Vitellus. I don't know. That's some people wouldn't get that. But Vitalis, and he did have some pretty good hair. I'm looking at a statue or a bust of him. He wasn't horrible looking. But he was well nourished. Very well nourished.
Pity the horse.
Yeah, no joke. Yikes. he'd have to be. God. Yeah, he'd probably have to be riding one of them heavy horses with pulls.
Yeah, a Percheron or a Belgian, or yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of Belgian.
Clydesdale.
Okay, sure. Yeah, that'll work. Thank you for letting me go on about.
Hey, you are more than welcome, and chime in anytime. You hear?
I will. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
To all. Get out and vote, everybody.
Absolutely,
vote blue.
And stay safe there in hazy Smokane. Sorry, I'm just proud of myself for that.
Oh, they're very good. Yes. Very good. The nearest meter for air quality to me is measuring now. 2.5 particulates. Latest measurements as of 4 p.m. local time is 268. So, hooray! It's unhealthy instead of dangerous.
a designation or a distinction that can matter only to an epidemiologist. Jay, you take care of yourself, you hear?
You too, Bob.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Calling from hazy Smokane, that was Jay. And we got about a little more than 20 minutes left in the program, and we got $145 to go to finish with this Tuesday, so we're not in a hole tomorrow, but whatever we can, and remember, there's only $9, $10 subscription slots left in Chris, Tony's subscription challenge. So if you'd like to participate in that, you're mighty welcome to. Let's run over and check in with who I suspect to be Flavio. Hey, Flavio. Was I right?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. So it's I saw the 608, and I thought it was Flavio, but it's not Flavio. Flavio calls from 608. Who I got?
No, it's Scott from Wisconsin.
Oh, hey, Scott. How you doing, man?
Hey, not too bad.
Thanks for the big help yesterday.
Oh, no problem, man. I can do what I can when I can, but it's all we can do.
All we can do is all we can do.
But, yeah, got in a little Facebook conversation with my niece the other day, and it drives me crazy. She's 28 years old, same age as my son, and boy, is she a maggot. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, it makes you want to eat dirt and run rabbits because you have to look up and go, I'm related to these people.
I know. Well, and at the end of the day, I mean, she's just a super nice person. You know, and, you know, she just, how do you want to say it? You know, I just made the comment. I said, you know, I know what it was like to grow up in the greatest country in the world. And I said, it just isn't anymore. And, oh, boy, did she take offense to that. You know, all this and that. Your 401k is doing fine and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's just frustrating.
The one thing, Scott, that I've identified is that, for the most part, the maggots are incapable of, measuring the world by anything but their own satisfaction.
Yeah, and that sounds about right. It just,
A maggot, at no time in the day does a maggot look up and go, I wonder how the children in cages are doing.
Oh, that's true. For the people living on the street.
Right.
But
I wonder how the uninsured in America are getting by these days.
Yeah, because I made mention to being a third world country, you know, and of course she sends me pictures of, like, I don't know, Ethiopia and, you know, them places. And, okay, you know, look at the dumpster diving in, you know, some of our major cities, or not even major cities, just along the road, how people are living. But, no, and then, you know, you always bring up all the sparkle farts. And, you know, it just, it's so frustrating because I just don't think they get it. You know, they keep pushing, oh, they're not for Medicare for all. They're not for this. They're not for that. But, you know, over the last 50 years, do they realize how many progressive policies that we've lost that just ain't coming back
well,
under
if you're,
Republicans?
If, Scott, if you're 28 years old, the answer is unequivocally no. Because they never knew about them in the first place. How many, I mean, just as a thought experiment, how many people are, how many people have turned voting age this year who know nothing but the 21st century? For whom?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so easy to get lost in time in a way. To me, FDR is a memory that is only faintly in my past because I had two parents who grew up under FDR. I had older parents. So he's a lot more real to me.
Right.
In some ways, FDR is more real to me than John Kennedy was. Because John Kennedy was dead by the time I was not quite 10 months old.
Yeah, I was 5.
But I had parents who could tell me in granular detail about how near death they and their loved ones and their friends and their neighbors and their communities came before FDR started making things better. I mean, for instance, and just, you know, you talk about the things we've lost, how close we came to not even getting the things we have. Did you know that part of the reason that Congress changed the time differential between the outgoing administration and the new administration, you know, it used to be March. And with after FDR's ascension, they moved it to January because, and a lot of people, I mean, I was kind of gobsmacked by this. I didn't realize that Herbert Hoover on the way out the door had tried to hold the country hostage unless FDR agreed to his policies. Hoover's policies of let it all burn and the government has no business trying to save people's lives.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hoover did that.
I learned something today. Wow, I always like learning something. But yeah, that, you know, I grew up on, you know, basically we lived 3 miles away from my grandfather, my grandpa and grandma. My grandpa was born in 1910. So he pretty much saw all the shit. And he, you know, I mean, heard so much of how bad it was. And he said that, you know, we were basically poor, but his dad had inherited a farm. So he said, you know, we survived. And he said, you know, we'd feed hobos when they came by and stuff like that. You know, but I, you know, I learned. And then, you know, and then like when you look at LBJ with the civil rights, the Great Society, you know, funding schools, stuff like that. And then, you know, along came Nixon. And Nixon started his first biggest bad task, in my opinion, was destroying family farms. He hired Earl Butz and they started stopping subsidies, plant fence row to fence row. And, you know, so we started losing family farms all through the 70s and 80s. You know, and then you got Reagan, which, you know, totally, you know, you've seen one tree, you've seen them all burnt. You know, he basically, the problem was the government, you know, people, they go with regulations and, you know, they should call them protections because all them regulations are to protect regular people, but they call them regulation, you know, job killing regulations. But, you know, when everybody's on the same page, it's all the same competitiveness. So it makes no sense, you know, and then, you know, now look at, you know, education. You know, when I was growing up, you could afford education. You could afford health care. You know, basically, now you're trying to get all that stuff back with, you know, one swipe and, you know, years and years. But yeah, it's more of what you're not going to lose anymore before you can start rebuilding.
Right, and that's why I keep saying, Scott, that, and I said it earlier this evening, what we're talking about getting started with Biden is the work of a generation. It's going to take a generation. And one of the things that gives me the creeping horrors is that while the Lincoln Project is out there saying, you know, burn it all down root and branch, you know, they'd be fine if Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, a lot of them, John Cornholio, Ron Johnson. Oh, you've got a real winner there in Ron Johnson.
Yeah, I know.
If they were all chucked out, the Lincoln Project would be fine with that. But the problem is the Lincoln Project is looking toward the rehabilitation of the GOP in 2024. And by rehabilitation, they want the GOP of 2004 that doesn't say the quiet part out loud.
Right. And I'm sure they're happy with the judges they got. I'm sure they're happy with, you know, all the, you know, pretty much a lot of the big tax breaks and all that other stuff that, you know, really, they're fine with destroying the country. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, because there's a buck to be made in it, Scott.
Yeah. But, you know, and this whole thing, I was sitting there listening to Tom Hartman today, and he did kind of make a comment that a lot of this started with the election of Obama, you know, and it comes back to what LBJ said, you know, if the worst white man can hate the best black man, they'll empty their pockets for you. And, you know, the hate and, you know, that it all fit in right into their Southern strategy and everything to where now they're just god awful people.
I don't see any other way to describe it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's well, and it's, you know, this is not the country I grew up in. You know,
Scott, see, that's the thing I keep wondering about. Is it, and we just deluded ourselves into thinking it wasn't? Because, you know, all this racism and bigotry and xenophobia and bias, it didn't spring full-formed like Athena from the head of Zeus. Laying there dormant all along, just seething and festering. And all it needed was a Donald Trump to come along and boom, you know, sprinkle a little warm water on the ground and the mushrooms pop up.
Yep. The fungus among us.
Ain't that the truth? It absolutely is. So are y'all still, is autumn headed toward Wisconsin yet, or is it still blazing hot up there?
Well, it didn't quite hit 80 today. We had a few days last week that it was a high of 59 in that. Trees are starting to turn a little bit. I'm actually sitting out my hunting blind right now. Couldn't resist the call. But yeah, it's just nice being out here in the fresh air.
So we've got, I need to make a clarification here. We've got Dave who writes in from the blind in Talibandiana, and in his case, it's because he can't see. But on the other hand, we got Scott in the no kidding, the deer blind or the duck blind. I mean,
deer blind. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Turkey blind.
Yeah, we got a flock of them that dances a chorus line across a little road not far from me every morning when I have to take Ferg for the early shift. My God, there were six hens and probably a dozen little jakes.
Yeah.
And then over in the field ahead of them were the toms. And I saw one beard had to be 6 inches long.
Yeah. Yeah, and they strut around like they're so cool.
Yeah, like they own the joint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, a flock of turkeys can starve a herd of deer.
Oh yeah,
because they're much better foragers for the nut mass.
Yeah, they'll pick a field clean. That's my father or my brother-in-law still picks some of his corn, puts some of it in silage. He's pretty much out of farming. He got rid of his milk cows and stuff. So he's just got a few heads he feeds and just to stay in it. It's one of them. It's in your blood, so you got to stay in it.
Yeah.
And when he picks it, I like it right after it's picked. It's like ringing the dinner bell. All the critters come out and eat.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of funny up here. I remember me and my wife got married in '89, and I've been coming up here since '86. And, you know, you drive through this ridge, there's 20 farms on this ridge, and now there's three that actually have stock, four that have stock. Three are like my brother-in-law, his is just kind of a...
Yeah, how far north, Scott?
Let's see, it's Hillsboro, Wisconsin. It's a little short of center of the state.
Okay.
Over by La Crosse.
All right. You're not too far from Flavio.
Oh, no, we're close to La Crosse, I think. Yeah. Isn't that where he's from?
Yeah.
Up in that area?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I was going to say, it's pronounced La Follette, Bob La Follette. They just had an article on him, the Republican senator from Wisconsin. Yeah. He was actually... normal. Actually, he fought for workers' rights and stuff.
You know, I spoke at a Fightin' Bob Fest one year, and has that thing kind of gone by the wayside, or is it still a going concern?
They still have it, but I think this year it was canceled.
Yeah.
But I think they still have it. I know they did last year, or I'm pretty sure they did last year. Bob Fest. Yeah, that's
it was a good time. Yeah. I'd never seen that many progressives in one place in my life.
Yeah, we just had this was a while ago, Mark Pocan. They had a progressive thing at one of our local high schools right outside of about 12 miles from my house. In Dane County. Dane County's pretty progressive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm up here in Vernon County.
And I got to give kudos, credit where credit's due. Bless his heart, one of the Republican members of your state Supreme Court sided with the three liberals and shut down those damn greenies.
I saw that today. I heard that today.
So that ballots can actually be mailed.
Yep. It's, yeah. One small one. It sounds like Texas isn't doing so hot, though. But it's Texas.
Well, yeah, exactly.
And then Florida's another fight, I guess. But yeah.
Well, the whole nation's going to be a fight, Scott.
Yeah.
But your state Democratic Party got a big shot in the arm over the weekend from the cast of Princess Bride, and I just thought that was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the read through of the Princess Bride, the script reading. I saw something like it brought in 100,000 individual donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Oh wow! Yeah, I didn't see that. I've been kind of.
Oh come on! You've been
my sanity by not watching anything.
No, I understand that, and I was going to say, come on, don't play with us. You've been in the deer blind. You've already admitted it. It's okay. Well, I'm going to try to ring, work one more phone call into this. It's awful good to hear from you. You know, get home before dark, okay? Or is it already dark?
No, it's, I got about another hour. Oh, I got to sit till dark because I don't want to spook anything out. So, but, I'm only a mile away from the cabin. I should get a Biden sign and put up there, but I'm afraid they'd burn my cabin down up here.
Yeah, it's the same run that, I mean, I'm, not to be a coward or anything. It's the same reason there's not one in my yard.
It's terrible. You know, you drive through and you get big Trump banners and got right in my neighbor, Trump Forever sign with a big heart in it. And one of the guys I would have never really believed, He's probably my dad's age. That silent generation, I think, screwed us more than what they accuse us boomers of doing. They seem to have reaped all the benefits of the New Deal and didn't want to contribute.
Well, it was, you know, it was my buddy Bruce up in Wisconsin who taught me the old acronym IGMFU. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I got mine, FU.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sad because I'll tell you, my grandpa, like I said, he was born in 1910. He had the greatest generation and all that and lived through all that stuff. And my dad's politics were totally different. I do believe my dad was a Democrat, but he would have probably been closer to a Dixiecrat than not quite that conservative, but, you know, kind of on that line. But, you know, there again, too, he had kind of a struggle all his life, too, you know, working hard and, you know, raising four boys. You know, I just, you know, so then any, you know, you just feel like, yeah.
Well, yeah, I tell you, when the season comes around, I hope you're able to fill the freezer or whatever you're looking to do.
Oh, yeah. All righty, Bob, I'll let you go. You have a great one, and stay safe and stay healthy.
Trying to, Scott. Great to hear from you, my friend. You take care.
You too, Bob.
Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye. That's our buddy Scott calling from Wisconsin. And let's run back over to the stress line and see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Bob, it's Billable here.
How are you? Billable, what's happening, man?
Hey, I'm working from home today. I got a round of golf in this morning. It didn't go so well, but then again, you know, when you're trying to chase a 63, hey, you know, that's kind of a tough thing to follow,
yeah,
you know?
That 63 was impressive. And how many 3-foot putts did you choke on?
Two. I choked on 2 3-foot putts, and I had 2 3 putts.
Oh.
So that's like 4 strokes there. I could have been under par for the round.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I got 4 birdies, not 3 birdies and an eagle. I know that Joey wrote a...
Okay, I was wondering about that eagle. I mean, drop it in 4 on a par 5, or drop it in 3 on a par 5, something like that.
Yeah, well, actually, today I had about a 35-foot eagle putt today because I drove the green on a par 4, actually drove slightly over the green to the fringe and had a chance at an eagle. But I did do a good lag, so I made a 3-foot putt for the birdie, so that was good. But I thought I was going to have to go to Chicago. My uncle died on Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear it.
Yeah, my Uncle Bill, he was my godfather, a great man, and practiced in Hinsdale, Illinois, the hospital there, delivered many a baby. It was beloved there, and just a very, you know, nice, sweet man, kind of a teddy bear of a guy. He was 87, died of congestive heart failure, and his daughter lives out in Sonoma, and she's, I think, in the middle of a bunch of fires right there. I think that's even worse than it is here in L.A. County. And I guess she thought that the better part of valor was to not have a funeral right now because force everybody to fly into Chicago, from all over the country during the pandemic. And she's going to, I think, wait until later on for like a celebration of life. So anyway, he was a very, very nice man. So I'll definitely miss him. He lived to 87, so he had a good long life. And, you know, his heart just gave out on him in the end, you know, congestive heart failure. So, those things happen.
You know. Well, they do, but it sounds like he lived a nice long life.
He did. He did a lot of good things, that's for sure. I sort of ran with that, what's the worst that can happen article about, you know, game, using game theory to see what could happen with the elections, with the election coming up. And I think it's very instructive to look at the election of 1876.
Samuel Tilden and Rutherford B. Hayes.
Right. Yeah. Hayes was from Ohio and the Republican. Tilden was Democrat from New York.
Yeah. And that's one of the more shameful moments in our history because The Congress, for people who don't know, the Congress agreed to let Rutherford B. Hayes become president of the United States as long as he promised to end Reconstruction and pull federal troops out of the South so that the South right. could engage in an insurrection and begin what became a 75-year-long reign of terror against freed blacks.
Right. Jim, and this was
Jim Crow begins in the Congress.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I think that, you know, this kind of presaged the reign of the minority Republicans in the Senate with Mitch McConnell when the Democrats were in charge, and basically the southern states ruling over the rest of the country. I mean, the southern states, well, I guess the Republicans, even though they have majority in the Senate, basically it's only 30% of the population that they, that comprise the 52 seats that they have in the Senate. And, you know, the thing that people don't realize about the Tilden Hayes election is that Hayes didn't have to concede anything. He didn't have to agree to this great so-called great compromise because Tilden was one electoral vote shy of winning. Hayes should have been ahead anyway because he was up in the absolute vote count in Florida, South Carolina, and Louisiana. And I believe the state legislatures there were run by Democrats, and they certified a different slate of electors than, you know, let's say the governor did or whatever, right. you know, whatever other body did. There were basically two slates of electors that were sent forward. And Hayes had a lead in Florida, South Carolina, Louisiana of about probably a total of 4,000 votes, maybe 900 votes in maybe two of those states and a couple thousand votes in another. And he was also ahead in Oregon. And so he had enough electors to actually win, you know, fair and square without having to compromise.
Yeah, but you'd hate to miss an opportunity to fuck over a significant portion of the country, wouldn't you?
Yeah, right. Apparently the Republicans didn't care enough about the freed slaves to stand on principle. But, Hayes ended up winning with 185 to 184 electoral votes. But again, he was ahead in the vote count, you know, of Florida, South Carolina, Louisiana, and Oregon. And for some reason, you know, the Republicans buckled under to the Southerners and, decided to, you know, say, okay, well, we'll concede this if you give us.
Well, that's what they.
I just hope that.
That's what they did.
You know, I just hope we don't have like competing slates of electors.
Yeah.
In this coming election.
But knuckling under the South, Rick, is basically the history of American politics from 1787 to, well, today.
The present.
Yeah.
Pretty much, except maybe up to the 60s, maybe the mid-60s, huh?
Very likely.
I mean,
what it feels like.
Yeah, so, you know, I just hope we don't have a crazy election with two, competing, slates of electors that are submitted, let's say, by the state legislature, and then another set that's submitted by the Secretary of State, you know, that kind of thing. That would be... that'd be totally foobar. And one thing I noticed here is apparently Biden is behind Trump in the Hispanic vote in Florida, 50-46. I mean, how many fucking Cubans are in Florida, Bob? They can't comprise a majority of Hispanics in Cuba, can they?
Well, but remember, those polls are of likely voters. Okay,
right.
And when it comes to likely voters. The cranky, hateful old anti-Castro Cubans vote with extreme prejudice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I mean, there's two states as a Democrat I would not count on winning. I mean, if you count on them as your margin of victory, you're going to lose. And that's Florida and Ohio.
I think Florida is more reachable than Ohio. And I know that's good.
I think it is. Although from what Joey's told me, At least if you look at the yard signs, I mean, you know, not that many Trump yard signs compared to Biden.
Yeah, but Joey is up in an area where you would expect to see that.
Yeah, he's more towards the city, I think, more towards Cleveland, I think, or he's in, what, Akron, I guess, or something like that.
But there are little bits of sanity that happen up there. It's in the districts that send the Jim Shorts Jordans of the world.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Joey, did he read his journal today or not?
Yeah, I did.
Did he get a cowbell for it?
Yes, I think I did.
Awesome. Okay, good. Okay, just checking. I missed the first hour of the program. I had I had some billable stuff I had to deal with.
Oh, well.
The first hour.
The billables ye have always with ye.
No kidding.
Hey, we're a little over time.
Are you still the amateur Uber driver, Bob?
I am still the amateur Uber driver, and that's what I was going to say. I got to wrap up here because I got to go play amateur Uber driver, and instead of getting off at midnight tonight, he gets off at 10, so that means I got to get the upload done and get the hell out of here.
Oh, well, good for you. Then you can actually get some sleep.
It's a novel idea, but we're back on the 4 to 12 tomorrow and the day after that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, you can't get too excited right away, then,
and,
I guess.
And, no. he still, it should be a big one, but he still hasn't seen a paycheck. And actually, an anonymous friend of the program took care of that so that, you know, I'm not sitting here just hemorrhaging money to you know, keep him working. So there's a, you know,
oh, okay.
That was huge help.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you're going through gas like crazy. You probably have to fill up like two or three times a week now, right?
Yeah, every bit of it. And
wow.
we're like $2.36 a gallon.
Okay.
And
okay.
I try really hard not to make the turbo in that little four banger spin up, but it's almost impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible. And so the minute that turbo spins up, you watch the gas gauge go.
sort of like when you're, you know, smoking too much, Bob, right?
Don't,
so day two today?
We are at, let's see. Yeah, we are at, let me see. It's 8 p.m. here.
Yeah?
We are at 1 day and 10 hours because I quit at 10 a.m.
Awesome.
I quit at 10 a.m. yesterday.
Awesome. Okay, well,
and
congratulations.
Every
day.
We're going to get this done, Billable.
I know you are. You need to. It's good for you. And, you know, don't worry about gaining weight. You'll just stay active. You'll be fine. Your body will adjust.
Yeah, I've got to. I mentioned this. I don't know if you were listening last night when I was talking to Todd. It was weird. Ferg wasn't even listening to the program, but Todd and I were talking about how you make spaghetti, and then the next day you do pan-fried spaghetti, and then you do pan-fried spaghetti, and you bake it. Well, Ferg didn't even hear any of that. And so this morning we're talking about getting ready to take him to work, and I said, "Do you want some spaghetti to take with you for your lunch?" And he said, "Yeah, I sure wish I could have it fried." And I said, "Your wish is my command." So I went out to the Blackstone, hotted it up, spread a little olive oil on it, took the cold pasta that hadn't been and fried it in the olive oil, which is, you know, good for you. And then added the sauce, and then folded in finely shredded mozzarella, tossed it around, and he's a happy camper.
Nice. That's tremendous.
And I tell you what.
Well, I hope the...
That's some good sauce. Some good sauce.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Well, I hope that things work out as far as... Ferg being able to get his own place, because rather than have to...
Well, we're working on it. He thinks he's identified a place, but the damn thing's $700 a month, and I don't see how you do that on $9 an hour.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. He's going to need to have somebody else contribute, like, about half of that, probably.
Yeah, and that ain't going to happen.
To do that. Yeah, I don't know about that. And when does he have a driver's license, or he can't drive for a while, I guess, right?
Is that the deal? He's getting closer to being able to, but the problem is I had to swear a blood oath to the fine folks at Geico that he would never get behind the wheel of any vehicle that I owned unless I wanted to pay a $1,200 a month premium.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough, you know. I mean, these millennials, they have a tough time. It's a lot harder.
I would not want to be his generation for love nor money. You know, he'll turn 25 the day after Christmas. And
yeah, I've got a 25 year old now too, and I mean, he's studying at home, and his quarter starts on October 1st, and he's going to be home at least through the end of the year.
Well, you know, I think your son and my son share something in common in that they finally identified Ferg as being somewhere on the spectrum. And you know, he's never had the kind of guidance and therapy and education that you need that can be had in a civilized society.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate I lived here in California because, I mean, you know, Brian had pretty much what he needed, and he was in a good school district that actually gave him the services he needed to help him.
And that is everything in the world. See, the school system here was so god-awful. It ruined every one of our children came out of the school system with a bad attitude or a bad taste in their mouth about formal education. Because the system was just that bad. And by the way, answering the question about,
and I'm sure at one point in time, maybe when you were younger, West Virginia was probably among the better
public states in
the country.
No, never has been. That's why I was lucky to
wishful thinking. I guess I was thinking of Iowa. Well, you know,
of all the places,
West Virginia had really good teachers, and
of all the places to be glad you went to public schools. I was lucky. I went to a really good public school system in Alabama growing up. I mean, shit.
Right.
I had Latin, okay? There aren't that many. And they're still, at the school I went to, they are still teaching Latin.
Oh, my, that's great.
Yeah, to this day. By the way, answering the question about the Latino population in Florida, our buddy Mark writes in and says, 6 million Latinos in Florida, 2.6 million of them are Cubans. The rest, for the most part, are Puerto Rican and Mexican American, and then you add in your Haitian, Dominican, and Venezuelans for the most part, some Central America, but you know
So I'd say the 40% of the Cubans that make up the Hispanic population in Florida explain a lot as to why Trump supposedly is leading the Latino vote with 50-46.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Now, again, it's only one poll. You know, you can't judge too much by one poll. You know, you have to look at the whole trend, you know. But, let's just hope that America gets its IQ test. It's one question IQ test correct time around. We really need it.
Because it's pass-fail, Billable, and the fail is in all caps.
It's pass-death is what it is, Bob. Yeah. Not just pass-fail.
Exactly. Billable Rick, you have yourself a good evening, and you know, stay away from all them Orange County maggots, will you? They're dangerous.
I'm definitely staying away from Covidia Pete as much as I can. Has those parties next? He's still having them.
God.
All right, Bob. Well, you take good care too. Nice chatting. Okay.
Oh, good talking to you, Billable Rick. Take care, my friend. Stay safe.
You betcha, I will. Take care, you too. Bye.
Bye now. Our pal Billable Rick, calling from the OC. And so we find ourselves at the end of the program, a little overtime even. Yay, extra radio. Thanks to everybody who jumped in on fundraising this evening. We knocked out $55 out of the fundraising goal. That means tomorrow we're at 3:45 for prayer meeting Wednesday. I mean, I wish we could open up, because I'd like to get folks back in the pews and get the deacons trundling their massive bulk up and down the stairs and amongst the in the aisles and passing the plates and everything. But you know, our imaginary church is going to be smarter than a whole lot of real ones. But thanks to all of you who did kick in, Thanks to all of our subscribers and a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter how you choose so to do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. By the way, brand new Malloy on the way in about 45 minutes, if you're listening live. Best place to listen to Malloy on the live stream is at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. This thing's still bad. This thing's still going. Stay home if you can. If you got to be out, take every precaution you possibly can. Wear your mask. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Use your hand sanitizer. Take a little bottle of hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. And instead of 6 feet, take Paul from Parts Unknown's advice and make it 10. More if you can. And for God's sakes, if some idiot comes towards you saying, "I don't consent to be arrested," avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.